Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Wednesday night, and you know what that means. It's another installment of the Mark Order Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things AEW. 2 weeks in a row. How you like me now, bitches?
You're still a heel.
God damn,
he's a heel. Motherfucker!
How you guys doing tonight?
Great, how are you?
Rock and roll. I am in a dip for a couple minutes to go eat dinner with my lovely wife. Just waiting for Ryan Schlong to try and enter the room. And then I can let him enter and then...
Are you gonna have double cheeseburger, motherfucker, extra pickle?
Where is he?
I don't know.
Gonna wait when I get up.
Well, all I know is if you're not here and he's not here, then he ain't getting on, and we're not gonna play his intro.
All right,
get him in. I'll intro him. We'll get it to
it
right away.
Do I have to play his intro too?
Yeah, I don't have the ability to do that live on air. So give me a second. I'll let you signal me when you're ready, and I'll whip him. All right. Well, we're doing this early because Matt is running off. Our good friend Ryan Schlong is here for a little tip of the Schlong.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to receive a little tip of the Schlong.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
Ryan, you can stay as long as you want. I just have to go eat with my wife, so I had to get you in, and we had to do the intro proper. But stay as long as you like. Hang out. Fill in for me. I'll be back in a little bit, gang.
A little tip can stay as long as he wants. It's very confusing messaging to the people. Well, I guess showing up for like a whole episode and then 3 more minutes of... another episode was just too damn much for Matthew. He was like, I can't handle it. I showed up for the whole time last week. Let me grace you with my presence and then get the fuck out of here because I'm Matt fucking Bowman.
Well, all I know is I am sure that he doesn't want to miss out on some of the discussion tonight. It was quite a night in the world of AEW, and we will certainly get to what happened tonight at Road Rager in a little while. We will also get to some of the other news and notes from the week. Not a whole lot, but some news and notes in the week of AEW later on. We're also going to touch on Dark Elevated and Dark Unleavened, and we will get to that, but let's ease into it. Just like a little tip of the schlong, you got to ease into it. So, Ryan, how's it going, pal?
Good. How are you guys doing? I'm pumped after the show tonight.
Yeah, it was a good show. It definitely has a different vibe to it. We'll definitely get to it. We're going to talk about the show tonight, but I'm glad you're doing well, pal. You've got no basketball. You've got no football. You've got no baseball, because who the fuck cares about the Phillies?
Yeah, did they lose to the Cubs?
Who knows? I honestly don't care. What I can tell you, Ryan, you know, hey, Kate, you know what baseball I care about?
What baseball do you care about?
I care about the Baltimore Orioles on July 11th because Kate, Matthew, and myself will be in Baltimore, Maryland on July 11th. This Sunday is the day that the Mark Order Podcast makes its return to live wrestling out in the world, and we are so excited to be going to a live wrestling show. Now, obviously, we are an AEW podcast. We enjoy a lot of wrestling, but AEW is not coming here until later this year, September. So we're going to be at that show. But this Sunday, we're going to be at Ring of Honor, Best in the World pay-per-view in Baltimore. We're going to be hitting up the Orioles game earlier in the day. We're going to be hitting up Jimmy's Famous Seafood at some point. But we can tell you that we did put an event on our Facebook page. We're going to be at, like I said, Ring of Honor, Best in the World pay-per-view at the Chesapeake Insurance, Employees Insurance, whatever, arena. Where the show is, and we want to meet anybody who's out there listening. If you want to come say what's up, we'll be there before the show starts. So jump into the event, say that you're going. We'll make plans to meet up somewhere. Yes, Kate.
Okay, first of all, I didn't even realize till the other day, it's also National Free Slurpee Day at 7-Eleven. What?
Yes.
How does this day keep getting better? And yes, on top of that, I decided I'm going to buy a new wrestling outfit.
You are.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go buy a new wrestling outfit, and then I'll probably buy like a Danhausen t-shirt within like 10 minutes of being there. So it's going to get ruined. But I was like, you know what? I'm like, I need new clothes anyway because I've lost some weight, which is very exciting. I'm in between sizes, which sucks as a girl because sizes are based on feelings when you're a girl. So that's a bummer. But I was like, I'm going to buy myself a fancy baseball ROH outfit. And I am so I'm so excited for this day. It just keeps getting better when I realized it's also National Slurpee Day at 7-Eleven.
It is National Slurpee Day. And we're going to we're probably going to pass a bunch of 7-Elevens. So we can just keep getting free Slurpees. I mean, I'm all for it. Yeah, Kate, and I'm sorry, Ryan, that I have to subject you to road trip talk and you're not coming.
No, I just want to point out something real quick. I don't want to interrupt, but you know what's going to happen to Kate, right? Her outfit's going to be white. She's going to get a Slurpee, and she's going to spill a Slurpee all over herself.
How dare you,
sir? First of all, I had lipstick all over my teeth, and none of you told me. Second of all, that's exactly what's going to happen. And I even have, I already have them, but I have little Keds with baseball stitching on the side of them. I'm wearing my baseball shoes. I'm so excited. But yeah, no, I'll definitely get Slurpee all over myself.
I will say this. You just actually reminded me, Kate, I got to go buy goddamn sneakers before I go Sunday because my Air Force Ones are, there's no padding left in them whatsoever. They destroy my feet now. My problem is with sneakers. I know exactly what I'm looking for. Black Nike Air Force Ones, mids, not really into the lows. I don't want it super high, so I'm looking for the mids, and I can find them. The problem is they have a style out now where the tongue is not stitched all the way closed, so the fucking foam in the tongue is exposed at the top. I'm like, why the fuck would anybody want that anyway? No. I gotta buy new sneakers, but new I will kicks. Say this, Kate, I do gotta get new kicks. New kicks for the dangly. Not rocking the dangly tonight, but I'll be rocking it Sunday for sure.
This is gonna bleed all over your new kicks.
Well, I don't know what you want me to tell you. I mean, if I'm putting the boots to somebody, they're gonna get dirty. I will say this. I did mention to Mrs. Money, I said, don't make me forget, I gotta do laundry on Saturday. And she's like, you just did all the laundry, like you did three loads of laundry last week. And I was like, yeah, but I wore some of the clothes I'm bringing to Baltimore. And she's like, well, aren't you just going to wear what you're wearing there and then clothes for the next day? I said, gee, I have to wear what I'm wearing there to the baseball game. Then I have to change so I can go to this wrestling show. I have to put on my wrestling outfit. Then I have to change before we go to seafood, because who knows if I'm going to have blood all over my clothes. Again, if I'm putting the boots to somebody, I'm going to be bloody. So I'm potentially going to have three outfits for Sunday, and then I have to come home in something on Monday. So be prepared. I'm going to have a large piece of luggage, and I'm going to need to be ready for every situation. So that'll mean at least six outfits. If it's hot, if it's cold, if it's raining.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. Usually I have one outfit.
If we hit the clubs.
Well, I'm not going to any of the clubs in Baltimore. I'll tell you that much. But it's going to be so much fun. We're super excited. And again, I know, Ryan, you're not coming on this trip, but I did say, if we want to do Baltimore Ring of Honor thing, or Baltimore, if we want to do a Philadelphia Ring of Honor thing, we certainly could. We know that AE Dubs is coming to Newark and New York in September. We've got our tickets to the Newark show, which we had an update in the Discord today. It looks like only top tier seats are available in Newark. That show's almost sold out. Looks like there's a little over 1,100 tickets left. They've almost sold out that building, apparently. And then we're waiting to get our fingers on some Arthur Ashe tickets, right, Kate?
Oh yeah, big time. And if Newark is almost sold out already, Arthur Ashe gonna sell out.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of stuff on the horizon coming for the Mark Order podcast, being back out and about at live events. So stay tuned. We'll let you know where we're going to be. But let's get into the world of AEW. We have Ryan Schlong here. It's nice and early. He's alert and awake. We haven't totally destroyed his, I don't know, whatever. I'm fucking getting
will
lost.
To live.
Yeah, his will to live. His
way too fast with the response on that. He's like, I know what you guys kill every week, it's my will to live.
Yeah, yeah. His motivation. So Schlong, thanks for joining us a little early tonight, and like Matt said, you're free to hang out. We're gonna get into Dark, because honestly I haven't really been watching anything going on with Impact. I don't really know what's going on with Impact, so we're not going to talk about Impact. We haven't really talked about either of the blogs, although I'm sure we could talk a little bit about the Dark Order being relegated to BTE Dark, which is Sammy's vlog. But we're not going to worry about any of that. We're here to talk about the actual AEW Dark, Elevation, and Standard Dark. It's like high def and standard definition. So let's start with the HD version. That would be Elevation. Ryan, this was under an hour this week. I believe it was a svelte almost 45 minutes.
It was under 45. It was beautiful. You know, it was over before you knew it was happening. I was like, I must be missing a match. It was great. That's how I like feeling watching these things. I do want to mention Sammy's vlog when we get to regular Dark, only because it ties in there, but we'll wait till we get sure. For Elevation. This was a nice, like you said, tight four, we'll say 45 all around. It was a tight 45. The highlight, not the highlight, but the only promo I should say given was when Marvez interviewed Janela and asked Janela where he was when Sonny Kiss was getting beat up. And Janela stared hard at Marvez, and Marvez had to admit that they were at the Melon Farm. So I'm loving that relationship, whatever's going on there. It's a dirtier version of Britt and Tony Schiavone, so I'm really digging that. There was some good matches. I don't think anything really stuck out as like groundbreaking this episode. Like nothing I was like, wow, you really should watch this match. I have a couple comments though. One is I'll go in order of the matches, but it's just comments. I don't know who Marcus Cross is, but what the fuck is up with his hair?
I can't believe Matt's not here to talk about wrestling hair. Oh no.
Yeah, that was insane. So I did actually get a chance to see Elevation this week. I didn't get a chance to see Dark, but I can comment on Marcus Cross's hair. I did like that commentary even said the same thing. Like, why wouldn't you just mat that down? Yeah, that was insanity. It looked like a wig. I thought maybe for a second it was a wig and it was going to get pulled off.
Until Sky literally lifted him by it, I thought it was a wig.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not mad. I don't usually comment on wrestlers' hair that much, but that was just so outlandish. It's like, what am I looking at here?
Outlandish, you say? Come on, you can't throw the word outlandish out there and not think of Zicky
Dice. It's existed for a very long time.
I know, but it's Zicky. And they're like synonymous now. I did just want to make a note that you asked about Serena's rope. So that was a Woman of 1,000 holds robe.
Yeah, but did she wear that before, or is that new?
She didn't. It was like just meant to be an ode to her trainer. So that is new. I think that's new, like with this more like heel deep that we are seeing. And I'm not gonna let you keep typing out these Danny Jordan things and not read them verbatim.
Yeah, don't worry. I I did plan on reading it, okay, as we did last week. So, yeah, I will say this, Schlong, you did say you're going to go in order of the matches to make comments. We did leave out, we did see Thunder Rosa wrestle, looking dominant again. Scorpio Sky and Marcus Cross was a nice showing for Scorpio Sky. And then we get to, who is this? Shida and Danny Jordan. And you do say here, and this is a direct quote, "I can't express properly how I feel. How dare they let this part-timer beat the great Danny Jordan?" As a bold statement, but I can't say I disagree with you.
Danny Jordan is a champion, not in AEW, but in another organization. And this other wrestler barely even shows up. I don't think she's been on TV in like 6 months. So how dare they do this to her? It's
fair. Well, it's fair. What are we supposed to say?
Well, we could do this. Schlong, FMK, Danny Jordan, Danny Jordan, and Danny Jordan.
Ooh.
Man. So I F Danny Jordan. I M Danny Jordan. I K Danny Jordan.
Okay.
Oh, fair. See, I thought you were gonna. I thought you were gonna F Danny Jordan and then K Danny Jordan and marry Danny Jordan. So,
well, that's amateur hour. I go for the pros.
There you go. So Ryan's all about Danny Jordan. Clearly not into the Shida character.
He likes the Mean Girls.
That's true. She had her burn book. What did she put in her burn book? Do you recall what she put in there this week? I honestly, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I don't remember, but I remember she put something in that I'd chuckle.
It was like something like she needs a kendo stick to get over or something like that.
Yeah, it was something funny like that. And I was like, it's so true. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, she had the belt. They took the belt off her. And I'm still just not interested in seeing Shida at all.
Well, that's convenient because you really don't have to unless you go out of your way to find her.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about what's going on. We'll talk about what's going on with the women later. And we got a couple updates tonight. But anyway, so Schlong clearly frustrated. Sounds like possibly sexually frustrated with what's going on with Danny Jordan. What else do we have, Schlong?
Well, the next match is Angelico versus Orange Cassidy. And this gets comments for two reasons. One is I think Paul White did. I don't hear a ton of Paul White's commentary because, again, I have the Wizards Monday Night Show on when I watch this. So I don't listen to the commentary. But for whatever reason, I heard this one. And I do like how Paul White was really trying to sell what Orange Cassidy is and how his mannerisms would annoy him if he were going against him in a match. So I think that's great to have an ex-wrestler come out there and be like, this is why it works. This is how it works. I also want to say that, like, I really like Angelico. We've talked about before, for a guy who's skinny, taller, seems like he should be a high flyer. He has this entire submission offense. That's really cool. The only thing I'll say is sometimes when he's trying to go move to move, it's awkward. It like slow, and it looks like, did they screw up or is he going? I mean, eventually it flows fine, but just that can be a little jarring when you're used to a little bit more free-flowing move to move. His is definitely stop, try to lock a leg, go to that next one. But overall, I mean, I love Angelico, and that dance afterwards seems to be getting over. Serena D versus Tesha Price. I'm glad that she gave the rope. Honestly, I think it, stupid as it sounds, it adds to a character. It's just something about her that showing off, and this, I want her on Dynamite, and this character is great for Dynamite. This, I'm super serious, I'm angry, but I'm also the best at what I do. That's, you need someone like that. And then I wasn't even going to comment on the last match, but I read something on Twitter that I thought was interesting. So you had Serpentico, spelled properly for Mrs. Money, going against Dante Martin, and Dante Martin can do insane things, so the matches are always good. But someone posted on a reminder that before the pandemic, Serpentico was going to retire, and then he kept getting shots at AEW's Dark and Elevation, and that kept him in wrestling. It's just very interesting that as these shows now go on the road, someone like Serpentico, I mean, he's going to go with him because he's got a different kind of contract, but his career was saved because of Dark and Dark Elevation, basically. So I just found that pretty interesting, something you don't often think about, but it saved his career.
Everyone stop. Matt is back. We can ask him the hair question.
I was going to.
Oh, thank God.
I plan to go back. So, Shlong, that is an interesting tidbit, though. I honestly didn't realize that he was close to hanging it up. So, super interesting that the Dark wound up, you know, extending his career, and he kind of found a home. And he's had a pretty good thing going with Dr. Luther. You know, it's Luther, I think, is an acquired taste for some, but that pairing just really worked for them. You know, Luther was able to throw him around and use him as a weapon, and the two just really worked well together for that. So, you know, even though we would constantly say, why are they in the main event? You know, it's just week after week, they're kind of main event tag teaming Dark. And I agree, they needed to break that up a little bit, but it's fun watching him and Luther work. So I'll take that. Now, Matt, jumping back, because we kind of ran through the card for Elevation. We wanted you to be here. You weren't. You're back.
I'm back.
Now we need an opinion. Did you see Elevation?
No.
Okay. Are you familiar with Marcus Cross?
No.
Okay. You need to Google a picture of Marcus Cross, hopefully from Dark.
This guy's hair is atrocious.
Thank you. That's exactly what we wanted to ask you about.
What is it? It looks like fake hair on like a evil DC villain cartoon guy. This is atrocious. Oh God, this is even worse. This has got to be fake hair. He was once tag team champions with Griff Garrison. How do you like them apples?
Yes, not fake. They did mention that he had ties to some of the guys in AEW. But yes, we were actually mentioning that before, Matt. Oh, hey, Nelly. We did when that first happened.
It's fucking pissing me off.
I'm running from the kitty.
We did say before that during this match with Scorpio Sky, we thought that possibly it was a wig. And then Scorpio Sky actually grabbed him by the hair and threw him. So it is not fake, but thank you for your opinion.
You're very welcome. A little inside baseball for you out there. For dinner, I had Speedy's.
Oh my goodness, a Binghamton, New York delicatessen. We have carousels in Binghamton, New York. We have Speedy's and Paul Reiser went to our SUNY school. Those are the three wonderful things about Binghamton, New York, and why I promptly left as soon as I could. I just wanted to say about the Serena Deeb robe character, the whole situation with her. I have a feeling they're going to have to turn Britt face out of this sooner than later. I feel like she's going to get cheered on the road like crazy. So Serena falling into like a aggressive, just actually better than everyone kind of as a shoot character with the robe, the thousand holds thing. Like, I really like that. And I think maybe if we clear out of this Nyla bullshit and she moves on, I think turning her face is inevitable at this point. If it's not going to be Thunder Rosa, I think Serena might be a really, really good situation for her to be in. I've also thrown Jade out there because I think the Clash of Egos would be awesome, but I think having someone as reliable and as great as Serena Deeb is working heel consistently is a fantastic thing for a division that now desperately needs it once again.
Well, don't worry. The women's division's going to be saved. We'll talk about that. What's on the card for next week?
Is Kate complaining about the same shit she complains about every week?
It's all right. We all complain about the same shit every week.
Did she make any WWE Dynamite jokes yet?
No, there wasn't this week, but we will talk about WWE Dynamite later.
Such a progress.
Oh.
You're bring that barbecue sauce with you tomorrow, Kate.
We actually didn't talk about that. I don't know if Kate wants to.
We're not allowed to. It's on the list of things we can't talk about tonight.
Oh my God.
That's right. We have an embargo. We can't talk about it.
We have an embargo.
It's fucking Kate Stern over there.
Sure. You know what? Sure.
Hoo hoo. Don't talk about that, Robin.
Hoo hoo. I did it first. All right.
I need my sunglasses. Damn it.
All right. So we got through Elevation, which Matt, if you're going to check it out, might as well let you know. It is a svelte 43 minutes and 44 seconds.
You know what? To give Kate credit, she did get my email right, and I got Ryan Schlong's email today, so I did see it. I also saw the outrageous...
It wasn't Kate that got it wrong. I got it right. It was Ant texting me your email.
Couldn't let one go. Couldn't let one go, Schlong. Just couldn't. Just couldn't let me have it.
I mean, I literally picked up my phone last week and texted him in front of the camera. I told you I was doing it.
So I did get the Schlong's email.
The Schlong report.
Yeah. Dark came in at it was like the go home to Jacksonville. Hopefully they don't throw out any more fucking 2 hour darks. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know why they seem to be going backwards. I didn't, you know, I said before, Matt, I didn't actually get a chance to see Dark. I saw Elevation. Dark just, my schedule today wouldn't allow me to have anything kind of on in the background. So I didn't see Dark. So, Schlong, I'm going to rely on you to kind of give your news and notes here. But I did see 2 hours and 3 minutes. That is a little bloated for me on the standard definition Dark. What else did we have on Dark that was worth checking out?
Bro, there were 17 matches. Holy yeah. shit.
Yeah. Well, it was the last one from Daly's Place, right? So maybe, you know, maybe it's gotta be slimmed down next week. It just has to be.
17.
It definitely felt like they had a bunch of talent there and they're like, all right, we'll give you one last match. Like, that definitely was how this felt. I'm going to derail us for a second because it's been bothering me. What is Speedy's?
Oh, Speedy's is just like a chicken marinade, basically. But it's like a specific thing to Binghamton that this marinade is like basically how you make your chicken sandwiches. And you can buy that marinade, as Millionaire Matt did, when you go to visit and take it home and cook your chicken in it just yourself. But
okay, I'm never visiting, so I won't get it. Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I also never visited, but my wife's best friend, that's where they grew up. So when they went, they brought back some giant bottles of Speedy's marinade. So if the Schlong man, Kate, ever has to return back to Whore Island, I mean Binghamton,
rather go to Whore Island.
You would never go back to Binghamton?
I would go because I have a couple of friends there, but like my parents aren't even there anymore. And this is not wrestling related. I don't really have like that big of a connection to my hometown. I feel much more rooted in my New Jersey, New York City life.
If Kate ever goes Schlong, maybe she'll get you some Speedies. But if you would like some Speedies marinade, I always throw some in like a canning jar and bring it to you.
It is delicious.
Picture you showing off the door, the canning jar, be like, here.
Yeah. Like a good neighbor. State Farm is there.
A good neighbor. Millionaire Matt is there.
Millionaire Matt had the air on, so he's rocking his Born Nasty hoodie from my man.
I was going to ask how the fuck you're wearing a hoodie today. Santa.
Well, I spent all day outside, so when I come home, I have to make it an ice box in the house, and then I get cold. And I like being cold in the house because I could put on a hoodie and I could be all cozy. The nipples might come out, though. I'm just going to put that out there now.
Yes. We're going.
Or I might have to go.
It's the go home to our ROH trip, baby. Let the nips fly. Let it go.
Put a t-shirt on or something. This is a lot warmer than it was when I put this on 2 hours ago.
Tell the people about the Born Nasty brand, though.
It's Santana. It's Santana's brand from Proud and Powerful.
Yeah, it is.
And he has these cool. I have a hoodie. I have a t-shirt and I have a hat. And he's releasing more t-shirts, and you could follow his brand. Just look for Born Nasty NYC on all forms of social media.
Yay.
I do have to put on a t-shirt on. It's like Africa hot now.
Well, go do your thing. Matt's
I'll
leaving
be right
us
back.
Yet
it takes
again.
2 seconds, yeah, and I don't really care about Dark, so.
Well, show us your titty.
Oh, man. Matt is undressing.
We're not going to talk about strip clubs. We're going to bring the strip club to you.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Ding, 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 ding. We're tipping him live on his OnlyFans. Ding, 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 ding. He's on Cam Soda. Ding, 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 ding. Kate,
what is Cam Soda?
Oh, boy. That's a conversation for a different time.
Is it? Or is it for us right now?
No. Kate, what does your shirt say, by the way? I only see Save the...
Oh, Save the Dive Bar? It was Seagram's did like promotional campaign, and they actually have a foundation that goes into like dive bars that have been around for either centuries or years and years, and they get them historically landmarked if they're like family bars that have not been in a good way financially or whatever, so that they don't shut down. It's actually a really cool program. And they've sponsored events of mine in the past, so I support them with this cool t-shirt that says Save the Dive Bar. They support me. Life is good, man. It's pretty all right. Millionaire Matt is back and fully clothed.
And we've derailed so long, so far from AEW Dark standard definition.
Well, let me get my bitching out of the way so Matt can bitch about my bitching, because I bitch about the same shit every week. I don't need my women's champion having a waiting room segment anymore.
Well, first of all, this was a great segment. It mimicked the barbershop segment of Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, so much so that Janela was wearing pretty much what Shawn Michaels wore. You thought Janela was going to attack Sonny Kiss, and he never did. It was a great swerve, and that made the segment.
I respect the swerve. I'm not even arguing that the segment might have been good. I don't need my women's champion doing, like, goofy shit like this when she's already had cheeseburgers after telling me she's going to usher in a new era of women's wrestling. So I don't like that she's keeping this alive, but I'm glad, if she's going to keep this alive, that this was an entertaining one. And it is tucked away on Dark, so I'm not like that annoyed about it, like my usual women's division feelings. But I don't need like champion Britt Baker doing this anymore. But they could have found another way to do the segment, but I appreciate the old nod to Marty Jannetty and to Sean.
You should at least be happy that Britt is on camera doing something and not just sitting in a white pantsuit looking like Hillary Rodham Clinton. You should just be happy that she's there. Anyway, Mike, one question for Schlong on this segment: is Joey not frustrated anymore?
He wasn't. No, he might have tried the frustrated line. I can't remember because Sonny got really aggressive with him. But Joey did try to introduce Marvez, and he wouldn't come, so Joey had to go in a corner and call him on the phone, only to find out that Marvez was at it. I don't think it was the Melon Farm this time. Maybe it was the Knit Factory. I can't remember.
Could have been Milkers, right?
Could have been Mommy Milkers. But it, like, honestly, if they didn't make it so much like the barbershop sketch, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much. But just when you catch on what he's wearing, you're like, okay, this is a fun little twist on the whole story. And I don't see why hating that Britt does it. I mean, that's what got her over in the first place.
I feel like because we had these promos about being a new champion and she was headed in this, like, I really liked what she was doing after the Lights Out match, where it was like less about the dentist piece of it and more about being like a cocky ass heel, talking about how she's the best, talking about how she was the most over with everything that she was doing and just like an arrogant son of a bitch. Like, I liked that. And I like throwing shade. Like, I like the glove still. I think it's a fun finisher, the Rings of Saturn into the mandible claw thing. Like, I like all of that. But this, like, I don't need, like, the goofy thing. I liked when we were leaning into the serious thing. It was, like, believable at that point. And now we're back to cheeseburgers and fighting women in their mid-50s who aren't wrestlers. So I just don't need, champion Britt to do this.
Well, this was the only time we were seeing Britt this week, so I hope you enjoyed it. Or
she did a promo tonight.
Yeah, but, you know, we didn't see her in the ring. So this was the longest segment you were going to see Britt. But, Schlong, let's get past Britt. There was some other big news this week. So big that you pulled it out of the standard, you know, kind of winners and losers section. So why don't you talk about the big news of the night?
So Fuego del Sol teamed with Matt's favorite wrestler, Marco Stunt, and won a match against Baron Black and Ryzen. But Fuego won. And Fuego is very, wow. And Fuego is very over. You know, the whole Sammy's vlog, which, I mean, I know it's whatever, it gets 100-something thousand views a week on YouTube. The whole thing was dedicated to Fuego. And there's video of him getting cheers when he's in the crowd during one of the events. I could see Matt's rolling his eyes. Matt, don't hate on people getting cheers.
I hate the Janela Sunny Kiss stuff because nobody gives a shit. And I don't even give a fuck about this nonsense.
Well, you don't watch Dark. You don't watch the vlog. So it's literally not for you.
Right. But I also don't care about Fuego del Sol.
Again, you don't watch.
He was trending, so people care.
That means zero to me.
Well,
I wouldn't buy a ticket to see Fuego del Sol.
I would buy 100 tickets. He should take all of Kenny's belts, and then he should go to NXT and take the Millionaire belt and all of those championships.
Good luck to
all of them.
Fucking John
go Fuego.
Soul.
You go Fuego and your tornado DDT and you getting over on Sammy's vlog the same way the Mark Order was getting over on BTE.
The Dark Order.
No, we're very over.
Are we?
As a group. So over on BTE. You know, even now. No, I love this with Fuego. And by the way, Fuego's really good. Like, I think he's pretty solid in the ring. He's not going to be the next Phoenix, I don't think, but he's definitely a really good worker. And I think everything Marco touches turns Matt sour is what happened here.
Well, Matt is sour.
I just don't care about a match with four guys that have zero meaning to me.
Right now.
What do you mean right now? With all due respect to Ryzen and Baron Black and Fuego del Sol, their future is AEW Dark and Elevation. They'll be lucky if they ever see Dynamite. Why should I invest in any of these guys?
Well, because this is a little tip of the schlong and we're talking about AEW Dark and
Elevation. I understand. And I think it's really cute that they gave Fuego this nice send-off, but I just don't give a shit.
I don't think it's send-off, my friend. I think he signed.
I mean, somebody's got to take the pins, I guess. I don't know.
I'm just going to argue you can't be invested in anything you don't watch. You wouldn't be invested in ROH if you didn't watch ROH.
That's fair. That's a very good point. But I will also not tune into Dark if I see Fuego del Sol's all over it. I don't care.
You wouldn't have tuned into, I don't know where Kenny Omega's career started, but whatever he was first on when he was first getting there. It takes time for these guys and stories like this to get them to a next level, which hopefully gets them to the next level. Which
sure, but I feel
you
like
know
you're,
who
you're...
this is for. Damn it, this is for Kevin Garifo, okay? Because he saw Curt Hawkins lose like 200 something matches, and Fuego lost what 34 matches before he finally got a win, and it was a tag team win.
Here's my
it's
point.
For...
You're asking people to watch AEW Dark and AEW Dark Elevation, right? But then you also want them to watch Sammy's vlog and Being the Elite and Dynamite. Otherwise, these stories don't meld together, right? If I'm not watching Sammy's vlog, I don't understand the Fuego del Sol story, right?
Yes and no. He kind of was getting over just because he kept showing up week to week and doing his stuff. But also, let's be fair here. The people who are watching AEW Dark, AEW Elevation are also likely the people who would go and watch the vlog and watch BT. It's nerds like me who that's what we're doing. So,
look, and that's fine. But I think you have to get away from the idea that every person that's watching these shows is also watching all of that.
Yeah, but I feel like to Ryan kind of saying half and half, like I don't think the Fuego story is lost on you if you're not watching Sammy's vlog. Like, I don't think it's that obscure because he is there week after week. I actually was saying this on Twitter the other day because someone had pointed out how well the whole ecosystem works. And I feel like they do an incredible job of starting the creative at the top of Dynamite and letting it just go deep into the roots of Dark Elevation and into the vlogs. The consistency is so tremendous. But I don't think you have to be watching every single one of those to appreciate each level on the way up. So I get what you're saying, Matt, like Fuego's not going to make you tune in for that. But if Kenny Omega showed up on it, you would. And then you might see Fuego and he has an awesome match that week or whatever. But if you're consistently watching, the storyline is great and has a payoff. So I think it's just a matter of where you fall on the dark spectrum, my friend. Why are you smirking over there?
He's got a smirk.
Because Kenny Omega shows up on Impact every week, and I haven't watched fucking Impact since the pay-per-view, so.
That's
right. Well, they talk about Dark sometimes. They don't ever talk about Impact.
In fairness, if Fuego showed up on Dynamite and his entire story was based off the vlogs, I would say that's a problem. But to be on something that's on YouTube to begin with, to build a story there to get him over with hundreds of thousands of viewers, that's not a bad way to start him out.
because they do get hundreds of thousands of views, both the vlogs and the both darks. So you're talking, yes, that's a specific argument that could propel him if he was able to get on Dynamite, because at least you'd have some kind of base to start with. But then you would have to tell his entire story on TV. You couldn't rely on the vlog, man.
Well, either way, Fuego del Sol surely is a polarizing character. And we'll see. What are you giving the look for, Matt? You hate him? Yeah, because you hate him and other people love him.
Matt was like, Terry Funk is overrated. Matt doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Get out of here.
Can't wait till Terry Funk dies.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
Cannot wait.
You're just a bad human being. I think because you were absent for a few weeks, I forgot that you're just like a bad person.
I have the people I like, and then I have the people I hate. And when I
how do you hate Terry fucking Funk?
Because he bleeds out of his ears. He retires every other day.
That's 90% of wrestling.
Not like Terry Funk retires, though.
No, he never.
And it runs a little deeper, you know. Runs a little deeper. There's, you know, more stories. But this isn't about me. This is about Tip of the Schlong, so.
This is going to make a great clip for our social media.
Which one? Me saying that I want Terry Funk to die, or Kate screaming, yes. I'd fuck Peter Avalon?
Yes. Both of them.
It's not I'd fuck. It's I'm going to fuck.
I am going to fuck Peter Avalon. We're going to get makeovers, and we're going to get mojitos.
Well, I mean, let's make it happen. My God. If anybody out there is listening, please hit up Pretty Peter Avalon. Let him know that Kate wants to fuck him and get mojitos right afterwards.
Just maybe the makeover and the mojitos part.
No,
maybe you'll have more.
Maybe
you'll have more luck than us with the PR department.
Would you?
What? They don't fucking listen. If we're not busted open or whatever other fucking million listener show it is, they don't give a fuck about us.
Oh my God.
All I know, Kate, is you said before, we're so over because we're embargoed to talk about certain subjects. All I'm saying is you better put us the fuck over on those other things.
Of course.
Also, another reason why I don't like this, not even Fuego del Sol, right? Guess who's on his coattails when he gets a win?
That I knew you were going to show.
Who's like a little dingleberry after you take a giant shit in the morning, just hanging on all day? Marco Stunt. Surprise, surprise. You could have put anyone from AEW Dark Elevation, Dark Under the Ring. You could have put anyone. You could have put the goddamn fucking cameraman with Fuego del Sol to get a win. But you pick fucking Captain Hanger-On to be on the winning side. Because he needs a win. Because he needs a win. So get floss.
He is a champion.
A champion, my ass. This is what I'm going to do to Marco Stunt. I'm going to have him put his mouth on the curb. I like them apples.
Whoa. Yeah. This is also going to make a great social clip.
Bring it. Bring the social clips on.
I don't know. You just... That feels like you're stealing... It feels like you're stealing Dick Thunder. When this is a little tip of the schlong.
Well, let's get back to getting a little tip.
I heard Abaddon wrestled.
Yeah. why don't you give us a few of the highlights from the show?
Tell me about Viva Van.
Yes. I did want to know more about Viva Las Vegas. And Chris Statlander. There was a Dutch Mantel sighting.
Trey Lamar's debut. I really like him. And Wheeler Yuta winning. There was a lot. There were 17 matches. There was a lot that happened.
So yeah, Wheeler Yuta won. He beat Ryan Nemeth.
That makes me really happy because that makes me think maybe they're looking at him for longer term plans. And he's a phenomenal wrestler.
And he bumped Angelico, so maybe they'll have something going forward. And I think those two would have some good matches.
I like it.
What does Hunter Knott look like?
You expect me to remember what he looks like?
Kylie King lost again?
Yeah, but Tate Conti, so.
All right.
They put Tate at the top of that division, you know, just under the champs. That was a really good match, actually. But, yeah, I mean, but see, Kylie King, someone who built herself on Dark and, you know, Elevation, you had to watch them to get who she was. But, I'm trying to think if there was any.
It's just weird. It's just weird though, because Kylan King was getting consistent wins for a while, and now it seems like they're putting her with, you know, primetime talent like Tay Conti, and she's not getting those wins anymore. I just feel like, when are you going to kind of put her kind of over the hump, right? Like, either you're going to continue to push her, or you're going to kind of have her stuck in this spot. So, like, I feel like you need to make a decision on somebody like a Kylan King.
So this is going to get Kay riled up, so I'm a little nervous to bring it up. But this is the flaw of the women's division, where you only have a couple people that you view as legitimate contenders at any given time, or at least top-tier talent, that who like, she doesn't have, there's no other mid-levels where you'd be like, okay, this is who I want her to be, and that's a respectable win. Maybe Layla Hirsch, but that's probably about it.
What about Red Velvet?
So you have Red Velvet, Britt, Nyla, Statlander. They're trying to build the bunny up. Steve, and you have like six people. I mean, I guess it just doesn't feel like you have like a lot of people there. Whereas, you know, you look at the men's, you have so many, and it's not hard to give someone who can take a loss to make a guy look better. Whereas in the women's, you're protecting such a small pool. They really need to expand it a little bit. And that's kind of where this comes in.
They're bringing Yuka Sakazaki back.
That's our savior. That's what we found out tonight.
Are you excited or what? Look at Kate's got... If you're not watching on the Facebook, you have to be on the Mark Order Podcast Facebook. You know how you send somebody like a happy birthday on iPhone and all the balloons come out? When I said Yuka Sakazaki is coming back, balloons literally came out of Kate's ears. She was so excited.
Yep. That's what I've been waiting for.
Don't worry. I mean, the sad thing is... You're making fun of like Yuka Sakazawi or however her name
Yuka
is.
It's not even her. It's this. I can't.
No, my point is they've had a lot of good women's talent on Dark and Dark Elevation. And instead of keeping, like, Kylan King is looking for independent bookings right now, so she probably won't be around a ton. Instead of keeping her and letting her move up, because she's shown, you know, she's gotten a following from the show, they bring someone back who they haven't used in months, who never really got over.
Willow fucking Nightingale, guys.
Well, she's to Willow's credit, Willow is involved with Ring of Honor now. So, I mean, maybe Willow has a lot on her plate and she's got to kind of stick to Ring of Honor. But here's my only, you know, if I can play devil's advocate a little bit, is there's going to be an additional show on television, right? So that show's coming in August. It'll be here before we know it, the Rampage. So I know it's an hour, but, you know, there's still an additional show. You've got Elevation, you've got Dark, you've got Dynamite, you've got now Rampage. So there's four shows. So at some point, they need to do something with some of these women. And I'm hoping that they start to kind of, you know, kind of level off some of this talent across these shows. Like, at some point, Tay Conti should stop showing up on Dynamite, or sorry, on Dark, and be really, you know, sticking to Dynamite or Rampage. Like, she should come off of Dark. They've got enough other women that you could keep on Dark, that you could have somebody like Kylan King kind of be a mainstay on Dark and beat some of these other women. Same thing with Red Velvet. Red Velvet's kind of stuck between, you know, like Dynamite and Dark. And it's like, at one point she was getting pushed up. She kind of slid into that role where, you know, it was going to be Brandy and, you know, Cody versus Shaq and Jade. And then Brandy got pregnant. And so that couldn't happen. So they brought Red Velvet up and she showed she could hang, but they, for some reason, bring her back down to Dark. They have to, you know, set certain levels with these women on these shows. At some point, it's got to happen when Rampage goes live. I'm not saying that that's going to be the solution to everything, but hopefully that adds a little bit of stability to this division.
I also think you'll see less people because they're not going to bring all this talent with them on the road. So maybe Miami works this week because it's kind of close to, not close-ish.
Yeah,
it's close,
like 5 hours, right?
It's close to Jackson, you know, where if you're coming from like Tampa or something, you know. But when we go to Austin next week, like, we'll see next week with Dark and Dark Elevation. If they're each 45 minutes long and they only feature a handful of people, then we know they're cutting back. And hopefully, to Anthony's point, they can start to, you know, whatever. Your A women's feud is on Dynamite, which is going to be your champion and whoever. And then your B and C feuds can be on Rampage. You know, maybe they get more segments on Rampage. I don't know. But to Kate's point, they do need to showcase some of these women a little more. And to Ryan's point, I would like to see more Kylie King on, like, give her a bigger stage. She's obviously proved that she belongs. This match with Tay Conte, there's nothing but rave reviews here online about it. Whoever wrote this review said this match saved them from turning off the show because they hated the Dr. Britt Baker segment so much, but this kind of saved it.
Well, that person's crazy because that segment was great. But I just want to make one other point. I'm fine if Tay Conte shows up on a Dark and Elevation after a loss on Dynamite, if this is how they build back up her record. But if that's all she, like, to Ann's point, if all she shows up is on Elevation and Dark, then what are we doing?
Even Nyla, who there's 9 million reasons I'm not excited about this dumb fucking feud, but like she also hadn't been on TV since March 15th or something like that. So like that just doesn't work. And this is like the whole thing is like if you have a bad women's match and it's the only match that's on television, all the women's wrestling for that week sucks. So you have to do better. Like all around, because otherwise women's wrestling just sucks because the one thing that you put out of it. So like it's very hard to get excited about the possibilities of what could be with Rampage when they can't even fucking get Dynamite right. But anyway,
and don't forget Swole's still hanging out there too. Like we still got Big Swole out there who's not really involved with anything. I like Big Swole. I think she's a good, you know, talent, and they had something with her and Britt, but you know, I think she got sick, right? She was dealing with her Crohn's. Yeah, and Crohn's is definitely a tough disease to deal with, so I get why she was off TV and dealing with it.
Right, I don't even have Crohn's and I shit my pants a bunch, so I can only imagine what it's like to have Crohn's.
You know, my biggest pet peeve with the whole Crohn's thing is there's all this commercials for the medication out there, and there's a commercial where there's this lady dealing with Crohn's and she's in a band. I don't know what drug it's for.
Yes, I've seen this one too.
Okay, here's my favorite part of that commercial. The whole band knows that she's got Crohn's. The whole band. They know she's got Crohn's. And at one point, they're on the tour bus, and this one douche nozzle in the band is like, here, you want some of my hot wings? What a fucking prick. You know she can't eat those fucking hot wings. You know it's going to cause a problem. Fuck
maybe,
off.
Maybe he's into that.
Well, I don't know. He
maybe
could
she
be.
Makes art. Maybe it's that's
due to art. You know, the ID channel is full of those commercials for all those weird ailments. And my new favorite one is bulging eyes. You can take drugs so you don't have bulging eyes.
Yes.
And the lady
that's
has
a new one.
She has sunglasses on.
What?
Bulging eyes. When your eyes are like bulging.
It's for some sort
Does
of thyroid. Happen? It's for some sort of thyroid condition. It's fairly new. I know what you're talking about, Matt. It's a weird commercial. The guy's taping his eyes closed.
No, this one's with a woman, and she always has her sunglasses on, and I'm expecting her to take them off, and her eyes look like Large Marge from Pee Wee's Big Adventure, but it's not. Yes. They're just regular fucking eyes, and then it shows like the drugs like help your eyes not be bulgy, and I'm like, this is stupid.
I've seen that commercial. There was one that was on the other night where it was like a guy, I think it was for bulging eyes. Like there was like a bunch of people, but in one segment, this guy was literally taping his eyes closed so he could like sleep. And Baby A was in the room and he's like, what's that? And it really fucking freaked him out.
Was it for bulging eyes or is it for the deaf people who can't sleep during the night because they're always hearing everything?
Are you talking about the blind people?
Oh, yes, the blind people. Duh.
The deaf people hearing things at all hours of the day. Yes, that's it. Oh, my goodness.
I missed you so much. I missed you.
Oh, God. See, I'm anyway. Not. I'm much. Although last week, hysterical. But I feel better today, so.
So let's get this train back on the tracks. So Shlong, we talked a little bit about the women. There were a few women's matches. I don't think we need to go any further with the women's stuff. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get to your ribs for her pleasure picks of the week?
I think we could get to that segment because I don't think there's any other big notes.
Can I ask you, Mr. Shlong, how was your 4th of July?
That was good. Trying to think. Family barbecue. I was trying to remember what the hell I did, but it was nice. How was yours?
I worked. It was good. I didn't get we didn't have the usual like you know, intro because I had to run and eat my Speedies. So I just, you know, wanted to catch up with everybody. Kate, Anthony, how was your 4th of July?
It was lovely.
Everyone,
I went to baseball. I went to the first baseball game in forever, ever.
Everyone's got their favorite. How dare you go to a baseball game before we go to a baseball game?
It was minor league.
Fucking bitch.
It was, first of all,
how rude.
It was minor league baseball.
How rude. We have this whole extravagant weekend planned, and then Kate's like, I'm going to take care of myself.
The Jersey Shore Blue Claws, who had a race with 3 different color eyeballs sponsored by an optometrist, compares to Camden Yards on National Slurpee Day with my friends, followed by ROH and Jimmy's Seafood. No, but it was fun. And I had a cheese dog, and there were fireworks. And cheese dog. There was a lot of hot dog talk on Monday, and I'm not going to rehash, but I don't like ketchup or mustard.
Okay,
but then I am willing to try again at Camden Yards.
Here is the thing.
I don't think I can trust you, Kate.
About the hot dog conversation. Sorry, Speedy stuck in my teeth. It was not, what would you put on your hot dog? What do you like on your hot dog? It's either ketchup or mustard. It's one or the other.
That wasn't
a bunch of dum-dums who follow us on Twitter and that I do a goddamn fucking podcast with Monday night didn't understand the question. And then there's in the middle, on the fence, I can't make anyone upset, Kevin. I like balls. What are you, fucking 6 years old?
People like the combo.
Ugh, get off.
Can I please just give one final answer to this? And I didn't hear it, but there's only one acceptable answer is what you should put on a hot dog, and it's mustard. If it's ketchup, get the fuck out of here.
I agree. If it's ketchup, why don't I just cut it up for you and feed it to you on a plate like you're 6 years old?
I mean, honestly, that sounds great, though. But
it is not acceptable to put ketchup on a hot dog. It's almost not acceptable to put ketchup on anything. I'm just going to put that out there.
I put it on my cheeseburger.
I don't even need it on a cheeseburger.
They're both.
He's on your side, Matt. The guy won't use ketchup at all.
Look, this isn't about if you use ketchup at all. It's what do you put on your hot dog? Ketchup or mustard? It's one of two answers.
And
you cannot have your
ketchup.
Cake and eat it. It's a very basic question.
But the conversation Monday wasn't that. But your poll was that.
The poll was, and then, the conversation was, you put ketchup or mustard on it, and then those two dildos took it down a whole different rabbit hole. Now we're talking about relish, sauerkraut, chili, cheese.
Kraut is a whole
different rabbit hole, which is for a whole nother show. I don't want to go down it again. So nope.
I'm going to try a hot dog with stuff on it at Camden Yards. I'm going to try.
Well, don't leave your hot dog unattended around us. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Duh.
That's very true.
Not my first rodeo.
Good.
So if we can pull this train back onto the tracks.
Here.
Schlong, we now need your Ribbed for Her Pleasure picks of the week. Hopefully one day brought to you by Trojan. We're working on it. Schlong, what is your pick from Elevation? One match and one match from Dark.
The Elevation is tough because I honestly don't think one match really stood out. I think Serpentico and Dante Martin had a lot of fun high fly stuff. I think Angelico and Orange Cassidy told a better story. So I'll leave that to how you'd want to, you know, if you're someone who's, listen, just like I don't think you have to choose between ketchup and mustard. I think I can tell you the two ways you want to go.
Listen, Kevin, we come to you for the hard decisions. Give us one goddamn match.
Well, I'm an Orange Cassidy fan, so I'm going to go with that match.
All right. There you go. See, was that so hard? Serpentico's still alive.
But I informed people, and now the people are informed. And then, this is another tough one. I think...
Fuego! For the love of God, it's Fuego!
It is Fuego for that. But I was trying to go give another answer other than Fuego just to be respectful to the question. And you just go with your main event of Chaos Project versus Penta and Eddie. But obviously, okay. This Fuego.
Seems like a cop-out answer, but I guess
we'll
go with
Fuego.
That.
But then if you're not going with Fuego because you're Matt, you go with Chaos Project versus Penta and Eddie. They're a good clash of styles.
Well, I'm not asking.
Styles, complimentary styles.
I'm not asking Matt. I'm asking the little tip of the swan.
I gave
Ryan
my
Schwung.
Answer. It's Fuego. I said, but if you're mad.
No. That's it. That's the end of your statement. It's Fuego.
I can state what I want to state.
Well, excuse me.
In your fucking face. Get him, Schlong. Get him. You're not you're not the boss of Schlong. You got your own Schlong to play with. Don't be touching his Schlong.
Well, I wasn't sure which way Matt was starting out on that one. I thought he was coming at me, and then he went right at Ant, so I got very confused.
This is your segment. We just fuck it up every week.
I have some Facebook chatter to keep up on because I get yelled at when I don't.
From who?
Hotspock asked Ryan if you guys are hanging out on Saturday.
Oh, good. I'm glad we're using this platform to find out what Ryan's doing on Saturday.
Hanging out with Hotspock, apparently. Are you in Philly, Hotspock? Chat it up in the Discord, because I don't know.
I'll chat it up in the Discord, yeah.
What is National Slurpee Day? If you go to 7-Eleven, on 7-Eleven, they give you a free National Slurpee. Oh, my God. How
they
did
give you
not
a free
know that?
National Slurpee? They don't just give you a free Slurpee?
No, it's a free National
Slurpee. It's red, white, and blue.
I'll fucking throw that in the garbage. I don't even want that. I'll kick that down the stairs.
And Joe Evans is Team Mustard. Well, so there you go, Mustard people. Running rampant.
That's the only acceptable answer. And this has
snobs.
This has been such a derailed version of this segment. I don't even know where it begins and where it ends. But what I can tell you is that...
Just like the Schlong.
Oh, my goodness. This has been another successful version of a little tip of the Schlong.
That was underwhelming. This has been a little tip of the Schlong.
Well, thank you, Schlong, for filling in.
Oh, I feel bad that he has to leave.
Well, you said he could hang out as long as he wants. After that, why would he want to continue to get berated?
Why? Who berated him?
I don't know. We were all fucking around with each other. Anyway, we have more to discuss. So I think we should take a short break so we can get some words in from some of the other shows that are part of the Shining Wizards Network. A wonderful network of shows that Matt is part of.
I am the king.
Matt is the king of the Shining Wizards Network. So why don't everybody, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Hear some word from some other awesome shows you should check out on the Shining Wizards Network.
Yeah, listen to them because I don't.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app, and it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to shiningwizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest-running podcasts on the interweb, and every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy, and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
Hey.
Hey.
We're back from break, and if you are still here, thank you. We're going to talk about the AEW rankings now, which I can't find on the internet.
Oh, they're out there, Matt. Oh, they are certainly out there.
Did I make your loins moist?
No, not really.
Let's run through this real fast, because we know how Kate feels about the rankings. And
what's happening to your voice?
I particularly don't give a shit about the rankings, so upward and onward.
Well, we should mention that the number one ranked men's competitor is Hangman Adam Page, followed by Orange Cassidy, Jungle Boy, Darby Allin, and Matt Sydal at number five. How do you like that? Matt Sydal jumping into the number five spot.
I don't like it.
Well, we'll see what happens. He had a match tonight. In the women's division, no changes. It's still Nyla at number one, Tay Conti at two, Thunder Rosa three, Chris Statlander four, and somehow Hikaru Shida still at number five. And in the tag team division, there is a new number one contender. That would be Eddie Kingston and Penta. Boo. They are 5-0. They Boo. Got their match. They got their match Boo. Tonight. They beat the champs. I don't disagree. I would rather see set teams in the rankings, but here we are. Number two, the Varsity Blondes. Three, the Acclaimed. Four, FTR. And five, Private Party. So there are our rankings for the week. And now we have to get into Dynamite tonight. It was the first live show for Dynamite in over a year on the road. So they traveled for Road Rager to Miami. And I do want to mention before we get into this that they did see quite an increase in the ratings last week when they were back to their standard Wednesday night. So they averaged over 880,000 visitors per hour and a 0.35 rating in the 18 to 49 demographic. So that was against the NBA playoffs, which, you know, they've had to deal with their time slot change and everything. So it's promising to see their ratings were kind of back moving to Wednesday nights. So it will be interesting to see how Road Rager did for them, you know, tonight. back on Wednesday night on the road in front of a live audience in Miami. And I will say this, it was awesome to see a full live building that was not Jacksonville. The crowd was pretty intense. I think my only criticism of the live crowd was I felt like they could have had them up a little higher with the live crowd audio. I feel like it sounded dead, but it really wasn't. You could tell the crowd was into it. So maybe they'll work that out over time, but that's just one small criticism I had. But it was great to see a live audience back on the road, and we opened up with Cody Rochel versus QT Marshall in the South Beach strap match, which, you know, is basically just a strap match. So a few things to call out. It was the standard kind of strap match rules. The competitors are strapped together with a leather strap. Anything kind of goes. And then to win, you have to touch all four turnbuckles consecutively without having it broken up. So that's the match that they had. There was a moment in this match where the lights went out. It was a little awkward, but the lights went out and they came right back. And commentary did note that, you know, they were dealing with some weather related issues and power issues in the building earlier in the day. And they did, you know, say that should it happen again, they'll kind of bring it back quickly like they did. So they went right past it. And as we get through this match, when we cut to the end, Cody Rhodes wound up winning. He hit three consecutive crossroads on QT Marshall to put him down and then hit all four turnbuckles. No post-match antics. Everything kind of went as is. I guess during the match, too, Aaron Solo and Nick Camerato were kind of getting involved. So Dustin Rhodes came through to clear them out of the way, and there were no issues from the outside. You know, strap matches for me, guys, are sort of like hit and miss. You know, I get, you know, the concept of the match. It's an older school, I feel like, style of match. I remember seeing them, I guess, in the late 80s and like early 90s. You know, in the Federation, they had a few strap matches. But I know that they've been done plenty other places. So I'm not a huge fan of it, but I think what really helped this match was the crowd really help get into this. If they were doing this at Daly's Place with a limited crowd, I don't think it would have come across nearly as good as it did. So I didn't have a problem with this match. I thought it was entertaining. Good choice to lead it off with, you know, Cody and QT Marshall. So I thought this was a pretty decent match. Kate, what did you think of the strap match?
Yeah, I thought it was a decent to good match made great by the crowd. They were immediately singing Cody's theme, which was kind of fun. I still sing the Dark Order version, the something something Cody Rhodes version, but that was really great to see. Solid. You knew Cody was going to win in front of this crowd, their first retraveling. This was actually one situation, and it's super rare because we normally praise it the other way, how much I love that they just start right away with action. I feel like they've made such a big deal out of this with Road Rager that they should have, like, maybe had Cody come out and say something, especially because they replayed the hell out of that clip of him when the pandemic shut down. I think it might have been cool if they actually took a moment to acknowledge, like, hey, we're back on the road. It was a really hard year. Maybe they felt like that would be redundant with the video package that they did last week saying goodbye to Daly's Place. But they're so good about it with starting with action in the ring that I felt like this was an opportunity where they could have gone the other way and it didn't have to be long, but maybe have Cody come out and say something just to get people jazzed up. But as far as the match was going, like, I thought it was very good. I think it was made great by the crowd. Of course, Cody was going to go over on the road again. Babyface didn't really have any consequences. Why not? But my only complaint about it is the crossroads having to be hit three times. I'm like, this isn't a finisher anymore because it always gets kicked out of, like, at least twice. So I don't know if we could even really call it a finishing move. It's just a move he does a bunch of times towards the end of the match that might eventually get the guy. So I'm just kind of over that. I don't mind it when it happens occasionally. I don't need it to be like V trigger proof like Kenny Omega where nobody ever kicks out of it, but it just happens so much with the crossroads that it's getting, like, a little annoying for me. But other than that, I thought it was a really solid, like, start to the night.
Matt, any thoughts on the strap match?
I unfortunately had not arrived at the Casa de Bowman yet, so I did not see this, so I cannot comment.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can. Do you want to talk out your ass about it?
No, I didn't see it. And I, the report I'm looking at says it was a very good, enjoyable strap match, so I would like to see it before I comment.
Okay, that's fair. I just thought if you wanted to just blow hot air.
No, I'll let you know when I got home and what I saw. Don't worry.
So I would certainly say, Matt, to check it out, because it certainly was that kind of standard old school strap match. You know, they didn't really try to update it into anything special. So if, you know, you're kind of into those old school style strap matches, this is right up your alley. Coming out of that, we had Sean Spears on a backstage promo from earlier in the day. And everybody has been asking why, but Sammy's ego is Sean Spears' weakness. And then all of a sudden, a chair comes in from out of frame and hits him in the face. And then Sammy comes in, sets the chair up, and says that this is far, far from over. So clearly, guys, we knew that Sammy had his match with MJF. And then Sean Spears got involved. And now we are on to Sean Spears and Sammy having their issue to settle, because we have Jericho moving on to MJF. So, listen, I like this pairing. I think that they can have a good series of matches. I thought that that chair coming in from off frame looked vicious. So I had no problem with this. We're just clearly setting up the road that these guys are about to kind of travel down. Kate, you have anything you want to call out about this in particular?
Is it far, far from over? Like, is it that far from over? Because we see this every week. I actually liked the segment. I like everything Spear said. I agree with you that the chair shot coming in from off camera looked really cool. And I liked Sammy's delivery. But I'm like, they've told me it's not far from over so many times. And I want it to be over kind of soon. And I know it's like double. A, I don't want it to be far, far from over. And B, I know you tell me every week it's far, far from over. You told me that at the Stadium Stampede. You told me this so many times that it's not far from over. I know it was kind of a throwaway line, but I was like, oh my God, we know.
Valid point. Matt, I don't know. You didn't mention where you saw that, where you came in.
No, I didn't see this yet.
Okay, where did you come in? So I just don't have to keep asking.
Don't worry, I'll let you know when I need to chime in.
Okay, sounds good.
We're good. Keep the train rolling.
I'm going to keep it moving, because they go to commercial after that, and when they come back, Shivani is in the ring to interview Kenny Omega, and Don Callis comes down and basically tells Tony to get out of the ring and gives us a history lesson about what him and Kenny had achieved over the last few months. And he basically goes through all the various wrestlers that Kenny's defeated, but the problem is that Omega has beaten everyone and there's no one left for him to beat. Hold on one second, my friend. Evil Uno and the Dark Order come to the ramp, and Uno says that it is incredibly hot so in Miami, so he takes his jacket off and he says he's been listening to Kenny and his weird uncle talk, and now he has some questions. And Omega actually interrupts with a question of his own and says, you know, Evil, you're a smart person, and asks him, what is the capital of Thailand? To which Uno goes to answer, and Kenny cuts him off, kicks him in the balls, and says, because it's Bangkok, baby. And then the beatdown is on. There's a brawl. The Good Brothers come out. And then all of a sudden, Hangman Adam Page comes out for the save in a beautiful brown shirt with white fringe. Certainly cowboy shit, as the crowd had been chanting earlier. Page is basically now back body dropping Carl Anderson out of the ring, you know, sends a clothesline to Doc Gallows to put him out of the ring. He gets on the apron to line up Kenny Omega. But then Kenny runs away before Page can, you know, hit the buckshot lariat. And that is the end of that segment. Now, this did cause, well, we had some discussion going on in the Discord about, you know, what could possibly happen with Hangman. Listen, I love this segment. Kate, I thought this was perfect. I think this kind of picked up right where you know, we had kind of seen Paige lining up Kenny Omega, you know, when the tag team was sort of breaking up. So to me, that's kind of right where I took that, you know, kind of standing on the apron, lining up Kenny and nothing happening. So I kind of love that. It kind of took me back to that moment. I think that we're kind of headed for this collision at All Out. And I think that Hangman Adam Page is going to kind of cement himself in the Dark Order. That is my belief. There are other people who believe that that Adam Page is going to turn on the Dark Order. I guess one, what did you think of this segment? And two, if that winds up happening, let's say if Hangman Adam Page does turn on the Dark Order, is that a disappointment for you?
So first of all, poor Tony Schiavone. He gets to watch JR do these backstage interviews where nobody interrupts him. Nobody calls him an asshole. Nobody tries to stop him from doing his job. Tony Schiavone every week. Poor guy. Second of all, the biggest thing that I loved about what Don Callis was saying was just his constant use of we language about, like, we defeated all of these people all over the world. Like, he was equally as much a part of it. I loved that. There were some you got fired chants from the crowd too, which I love that they were buying in. That was really, really fun. And then for Hangman, I loved everything Uno said. The weird uncle thing was great. But, like, the thing that got me the most about this segment was just the pop that Hangman got. It was just... There was a thread going around earlier. I wish I could remember whose Twitter handle it was that, like, summarized this whole story from beginning to end. And I mean, before AEW's existence to end, and just talked about how this is just like the most beautiful textbook storytelling that you could have. Like, this has just been such a wonderfully told story in its simplicity, in its longevity, in its attention to detail. And when you do stuff like that, you get crowd reactions like Hangman got tonight, like a baby face should. So I loved that. It was so much fun having a crowd back. They booed all the heels and they cheered all the faces, which is what's supposed to happen, right? So I just loved all of that. I could see what people were saying about Hangman turning on the Dark Order, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think they've just... executed this whole story so well that to muddy it up would be a little much. I think if anything were to develop more out of this than the simplistic arc of Kenny Omega and Adam Page having that blow off, I think what happens is that Cody turns heel and you have like an Elite versus Dark Order with Hangman, stable versus stable situation, and kind of even numbers at that point. You could do whatever you wanted, but I think that might even be too muddy for this. Let it burn. Let it burn till All Out. Let Hangman win the championship and let Kenny spiral out of control with all of his belts and then go heal up for a while because he's been working injured and he deserves it. So liked the segment, like where this is going. I could understand Hangman turning on the Dark Order, but I think that would cloud maybe what's going on here a bit too much.
So, Matt, I'm going to pose the question to you because there was discussion going on in the Discord. Again, kind of about, you know, the possibility of there being a swerve and Hangman almost going heel and turning on the Dark Order and becoming a loner again and then eventually having to find them again. Would that kind of be a departure? Would that departure, you know, kind of like ruin this whole story for you?
Yes, that would be stupid.
Thank you.
It would. Look, we're invested in... Look, everyone needs to get off the Attitude Era, Vince Russo, swerve, bro. Like, this is a feel-good fucking story. Everyone's invested. You're going to lose people if you decide to have him turn on the Dark Order in the moment where he is going to be embraced by the Dark Order. It doesn't make any sense.
I will just say that the genesis of this was because it was the 25th anniversary of the NWO heel turn today. So there was just an overarching discussion of, is there going to be some massive heel turn today? And that came up as an option, but I'm with you guys. I don't think it was a good idea. And I don't think if someone was going to have a stark heel turn, that would be the one, but that is what sparked the conversation. It wasn't just like an idea.
That's fine. But you know, the NWO was a shot in the arm the wrestling industry needed. You know, this, they're doing just fine. The payoff is Hangman Adam Page beats Kenny Omega, and he has that championship in the middle of the ring, and he embraces the Dark Order. He opens his arms up to them, not them opening their arms up to him. And then he is finally embraced the Dark Order. He's accepting of them, and then, you know, you're off to the races, and he can be a good guy, and he can be part of the Dark Order. He can be friends with the Dark Order. They can be allies. They don't necessarily, he doesn't have to run the Dark Order. You know, we've discussed it at length with all these different stable feuds. I don't think we need to open another. I mean, we're fucking done with the we've already exhausted the Inner Circle against whomever. Now we're already tired of the Inner Circle, right, and the Pinnacle. Like, do we really want to bring back the Elite? Bring back the, you know, have the Dark Order start a feud like that? Like, there's so many questions up in the air. Like, what happened to the Nightmare Family and the what is QT's stable called?
Factory.
What I don't even know. Like, Anthony Ogogo had another eye surgery. Like, he might never wrestle again. So he's out. He's gone. So these stables are what, like, I think they took the New Japan idea and they're like, let's just make it bigger and better with the stables. But I think less is more with the stables. It's kind of like a safety net. If you need to have, like, throwaway 6-man tag matches and shit, like, you could put them together. But they're, like, really, and we're all kind of just at the point where we're like you just said it before, Kate, like, is it really far from over?
Yeah. Like, and the one thing that's just on TV every week is this Inner Circle and Pinnacle stuff. So, like, if they were rotating these factions and stables more, I think it would be a little bit less burnout. But because you brought up Anthony Ogogo, we did get a question in the Facebook from Joe about, like, if Cody was going to beat Ogogo anyway, like, what was the point of the Factory? Like, there was no payoff there. I'm wondering if that storyline was supposed to continue, but now Ogogo had another eye surgery. So maybe they're just moving on from that, as we saw later tonight with a huge development. But I did just want to acknowledge that, since you brought it up, Matt, that, like, that storyline kind of went dead in the water when Cody went over Ogogo. But I don't think they were planning on him having another eye surgery. I actually didn't know that. That's a super bummer.
But to go back to the original question, Anthony, I think the money is Adam Page gets his victory and you finish up a story you've been telling for a year and a half. Well, over a year.
Yeah.
And a half.
No,
so I think that's what, you don't have to get the fucking Vince Russo swerve, bro. And, like, stop. Stop with that. Everything doesn't have to be a swerve. Let's just have a feel-good fucking moment. And you're going to have it in Chicago, and the place is going to go banana, as Pat Patterson would say.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm in agreement. I am firmly of the camp that you finish this story. You don't take a left turn and then come back to it another point in time. You're now getting back in front of live crowds. You've got these four, well, after tonight, these three Wednesday night specials going, then you've got to get to All Out, and then you're going to have a couple extra special shows, you know, when you come to New York City. You're going to have Newark and then New York City the next week with a special show. So I am definitely of the mindset that you pay this off. You don't take any longer. We have to pay it off. Anyway, moving on. Jim Ross moderates his sit-down interview with Ethan Page and Darby Allin, and JR says that he's kind of uneasy because both Ethan Page and Darby Allin talk about ending each other's career, and he thinks that that is sad. Page says that Allin deserves it, and Darby says the fact that he got in 1 year wrestling to where Ethan got in 12, you know, kind of drives him crazy, or makes him crazy, excuse me. And it's not his fault that he dropped everything to make sure he'd make it somewhere, and all ego was basically complacent. And the big fish in the little pond. Ethan Page says that, you know, that's all true. Darby skipped the line, and if it weren't for him, he'd probably still be doing the same shows and living in his car. Page brought him in and up in pro wrestling. You know, the checks that he cashed He said, that's what you get when you share the ring with someone with as much experience as Paige. And without him, he'd be nothing. Next week, he's going to take him out of the business. So they did say that next week we are going to get at Fyter Fest Night 1, the coffin match. So my comment on this is, one, I'm glad that they're going to get the coffin match in. I don't want them to delay it any longer. And two, my God, I just love this segment out of Ethan Page. The guy is great in front of the mic when you can actually hear him. And there's no technical issues, but just the intensity he brings really, you know, sells this on a whole different level. So I love this whole segment. I'm interested in seeing these guys wrestle in this coffin match, and I will watch them wrestle, you know, week after week after week, if that's what they want to do. These guys just seem to be really great together. And I know we've talked about their past, and if you've seen, I don't know what it was, Evolve, you know, kind of matches and feud, it's really good work. So we know these guys work well together. Kate, what did you think about this interview?
Well, to your point, I really liked being able to hear Ethan Page without an NBA feed or any other issues. I loved this. Ethan Page has just kind of, like when FTR came in or Eddie Kingston has come in, you're like, oh, that's right, you weren't here the whole time. Like, he's assimilated that easily. And as far as like any of those like Joker spots that they've done on pay-per-views, I feel like his was the one that I was the most excited about and is really, really paying off here. I liked everything about this, and I'm also in the camp of let him and Darby Allin fight until they're 900 or Darby Allin dies in the ring because he's a maniac. I love this. Let them fight forever. Let them fight backstage. Just always be fighting. Always hate each other. I love this. I love the venom. I love when they go back to the genesis of stories being before the promotion ever existed. They do it with the Elite. They do it with Kenny and Hangman. Like we were just saying, like, I'm so in on that kind of stuff because it just makes it all the more personal.
All right. I think that this is going to be a good match next week. So fingers crossed that we can get a couple more out of them. I'm sorry, Kate, did you have anything additional?
No, I'll bring it up later.
Okay. So moving on from this, we get into the Inner Circle, which was Jake Hager, Santana and Ortiz versus the Pinnacle, which was Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood and Wardlow. Trios match, Conan was in the corner for the Inner Circle. Tully was in the corner for the Pinnacle. And as we get through this match, you know, we kind of get towards the end of this match, the Pinnacle wins by pinfall, lateral press from Wardlow on Jake Hager. There were some shenanigans towards the end of this match. So there was a distraction, and FTR hit the big rig, Tony Bland or Dax, sorry. Dax had a run in, when the ankle lock was applied, FTR hit a big rig. Tully had a distraction to kind of cause that. And that's what caused the win for the Pinnacle. Post match, Conan, goes to attack Wardlow with the Mad Bull. But it doesn't really work out in his favor. So Tully chop blocks, Conan, and the Pinnacle retreat into their victory, while Proud and Powerful are checking on Conan. So I'll say this about the match. I thought it was a pretty good match. I like all these guys, but I didn't have a problem with the finish. It was the execution I didn't necessarily love, Kate. I don't know what you thought about it. The execution just seemed a little sloppy to me. The finish was what it needed to be. It just didn't come across to me the way it needed to.
Didn't love the execution. Loved Wardlow's reaction to Conan after. I thought that was great. I just didn't care about this match, to be honest. There's just, we got Sammy and John Spears and we have this and we have MJF and Jericho talking later. I just am really burnt out on this stuff. But the match was fine. You're right. I didn't like the finish execution wise. And I also didn't like love the booking. Like, not everything needs to be so sneaky sneaks. Like, sometimes the better man win and we know it's far from over, So it doesn't really matter who wins or loses here, right? I think that's part of what's frustrating me with this angle so much is that wins and losses matter in AEW. I know I bitch about the rankings every week, but mattering doesn't always just mean rankings. Mattering just means storyline implications and whatever. I don't think it fucking matters who wins any of these matches until they have whatever blow off they're going to have with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle. Everything that happens in between just feels like buying time and kind of like bullshit. So the match was fine. The ending was bad. But I'm not bought in because who cares until they have this third match, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, it just seemed like a sloppy finish to me. And if it was a little more cleaned up, I think it would have come across a little bit better. But
that's fair.
Maybe me nitpicking. But I'm with you with everything you said. It's far from over. We know that. So we'll get more of this. Anyway, we go on to a little bit of a surprise here. We get a video package basically hyping up the fact that Jon Moxley is going to defend his IWGP United States Championship next week against Carl Anderson. And Carl Anderson goes on to talk about the fact that Kenny held that belt in New Japan, and that the Elite are basically just so pissed off that Moxley holds this belt, and that Carl Anderson was in New Japan and was there when the Bullet Club was born, calling them out by name, and that he's going to take that title back and do good by the Elite. And then we basically kind of go to break. So a little bit of a surprise, Kate. I didn't know that this was on the docket for next week in IWGP defense. I think that seeing Jon Moxley back in the ring, this is the first time in 3 or 4 weeks, at least, I think, that he'll be back in the ring. Carl Anderson, I think, and him could have a really good match for that title. So it should be a pretty fun match. Any thoughts on this?
Two. One, we're going to see Bald Moxley, apparently, which I'm very excited about. Two, how did we get a whole dedicated segment to the IWPG belt and they just don't ever talk about Impact, which Kenny Omega's champion of? I was like, this whole segment is dedicated to this match not happening on AEW TV. They've been working with Impact for like 940 years at this point, and they never talk about it. It's just weird. I don't know if Impact doesn't give them promos to run. I don't know where the gap in the relationship is, but it's fucking weird that they're just openly promoting them, who they have a very loose working relationship with, as opposed to Impact, where they literally have their championship on the show. And they don't talk about it. That was the biggest thing to me, was like, this is great. Why don't they do any of this with the Impact stuff? It's so bizarre. So bizarre to me.
Yeah, good point. I'm with you there. I think we've kind of talked about that ad nauseum too, about the fact that they really just don't mention that TNA title at all. Or I'm sorry, Impact, not TNA. The Impact title at all. On
Might as well be.
That's very true.
The TNA title at this point.
Very true. All right, let's move on. So this is where we get into our face-to-face stare down segment between Jericho and MJF. So before they went to break, MJF had made his way to the ring, and when we get back, Jericho makes his entrance. Of course, pretty awesome to see the crowd singing along to Judas. And just as Jericho is going to get in the ring, somebody comes in from the crowd to try to make the attack on Jericho. It is not planned. The camera cuts away. It is just some rando fan trying to jump into the ring. So they get it all settled. It looked like, I think before the camera cut away, it looked like Jericho got a few shots in. And then when they go back to the ring, Jericho is sitting in his chair. MJF is sitting in, you know, sitting down. And MJF is basically yelling at the crowd, saying that he'd love another fat, sloppy, you know, Miami, Florida person, blah, blah, blah. You know, he basically just uses it to kind of get into what he's talking about. So he goes on to tell Jericho that he's already beaten him twice. And Jericho's basically groveling and begging for another match. And then it's very sad. But MJF doesn't blame him, because everybody wants a piece of the king of AEW. And Jericho says that he should have left that fat bastard, let the fat bastard that tried to jump him in the barricade, jump the barricade into the ring, beat his ass. But he's Chris Jericho and he'll accept any stipulation, up to and including sex with MJF's mom. Again. So MJF says he doesn't care what the fans want. It's a shame that we got to this point, because he used to look up to Jericho. So again, we're kind of playing this whole thing where, you know, he's better than Jericho at this point. And then he said, remember when he fought Mox, he made Mox fight every member of the Inner Circle. Well, karma's a bitch because he's going to use that and make it better. He loves Greek mythology. His favorite story is the labors of Hercules, and Jericho is going to have five labors. Four of them will be the stipulation matches against opponents of MJF's choice, and the fifth one will be the match against MJF, where he'll finally get to touch, get it through his skull that MJF is better than him. So Jericho says that if he can't get through these labors, maybe he doesn't deserve to be in AEW. He'll accept them because he's the god of war and thunder, and he's going to beat him and ruin his life. He signs the paperwork, throws it to MJF, but MJF says he comes from Long Island, where a deal isn't done until both parties shake hands. So MJF extends his hand, demands that Jericho shakes it or the deal is off. So Jericho shakes his hand and doesn't let go, and he gives a very short arm Judas effect to lay MJF out. End of segment, we go to break. So it looks like we're going to get this, you know, four opponent kind of match here, and then maybe a shot at MJF. Clearly, Jericho is going to get through these four opponents, Kate. I don't think we're going to just have this kind of end in the middle.
Yeah, no way. So, a lot to unpack there, mostly the fan rushing the ring. I was impressed that MJF did not miss a beat. I love that Jericho also used it, which unfortunately to me was like the best part of the segment. I didn't really like a lot of this. It wasn't particularly bad. It just isn't good anymore. And I keep going back to the fact that everything MJF says, I feel like tends to be true. And Chris Jericho kind of comes across as a dork with these sex with your mom jokes. Like, that's so fucking lame to me. I did love MJF saying that everybody wants the MJF rub. Like, I thought that was such a fun use of like a dumb industry term brought to life. But like, sex with your mom again jokes, like, it's just so kind of dorky. I also didn't need like a Greek mythology lesson in the process. Like, I think we could have gotten to there in a different way. Good for him and his hobby, I guess. But I think right now I'm not excited for it, but it's an incredibly unique idea, at least, where Jericho's going to have to go through all these people to get to MJF. So there's room for it to be very creative and very cool. I'm just not excited about it right now, because this is just, I said last week that like, it feels like the Inner Circle is now holding people back instead of propelling them forward. And this just continues to feel that way.
Well, they didn't give anything more than the stipulations, so we don't know who the matches are going to be against or any sort of stipulations to those. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully it pays off and it's cool. But when we come back to the commercial, we get a quick shot of the American Top Team hanging out in the front row ringside. We will get to them again later. And then we get a recap package of the women's tag team match from last week. And then we have Tony Schiavone interviewing Britt Baker earlier in the day backstage. And Britt complains about being booked in the tag match in the first place, points out that poor Rebel got her knee blown out, and that Tony Khan should feel terrible about it. She almost got killed getting powerbombed through the table, but it's okay because TK got Andrade, so it's worth it. She also said that maybe next week they could run in Saudi Arabia. So that was a nice little shot. She also tells Nyla Rose that she's not winning the title back, and she's going to get sent back to obscurity, and that they call Dallas the Big D, but when she wins, it'll be called the Big DMD. So I thought it was a pretty decent promo. Kate, that Saudi Arabia shot was pretty out of left field, huh?
I loved it. I love that Eddie Kingston goes out there and gives this off-camera promo about how AEW is the most passionate and best product, which he should say, and that everybody gets annoyed by it. And Britt Baker says that Andrade is basically blood money, like Saudi Arabia should be next. Ooh, I loved this from Britt. I also feel like they might know that they backed themselves into a corner with this Nyla stuff and that tag match was dog shit. I think that's maybe why the card was what it was this week, where it was a promo from Britt and not much else. But I think maybe they were not the only ones that were like, hey, that's not good. So hopefully they're listening. They tend to be very good at that in this company. But I loved the promo. I thought it was great. I hope Rebel Reba feels better soon. But I'm glad that they weren't giving more life and fanning the flames of the Vicky and Nyla stuff, which is a catch 22, as you kind of alluded to before. It's like, okay, now I don't have my champion on my screen, but what you gave to me last week was terrible. So what do you do now? I'm thinking Britsburg is going to have something pretty big lined up when they get there. But yeah, I don't know. They keep just handcuffing themselves with this women's division.
Yeah. You know, it's it just seems now like clearly after last week, like that match was just a means to an end to get Britt put through a table to try to put some heat, you know, behind this feud. And it just, you know, okay, why couldn't they just find another way to do it without having that match? You know, like the match wasn't necessary. I also, there was some chatter going on in the Discord. You know, a comment that, yeah, Yuka sucks, but we need more Reba and Vicky in more matches. I want to be very clear. I don't think that. I don't want that. But I also don't think bringing talent back from Japan that we haven't seen in, you know, months to a year plus, that was never really over with the fan base, is going to help. The talent is there. They have talent. They just have to make the right moves with it.
You could bring the ghost of Fabulous Moolah back. If you book it like dog shit, it's going to suck. That happening.
We don't want to do that. We don't want to bring the ghost of Moolah back.
but it happens on Monday nights too, where I see these incredibly skilled workers, people that they did build up properly, be at the hands of dog shit storytelling and bad booking. It doesn't matter who you have in there if it's going to be terrible and handled this poorly. Like, it just doesn't matter if you're gonna throw storytelling and booking out the window. Who cares?
Yeah, I agree. Well, we talked ad nauseum about the women already tonight.
Stop.
So yeah, we don't have to keep going. The next match was our first in-ring look at Andrade El Idolo in AEW versus Matt Sydal. And, you know, I think that there was a lot of hype around this match, and I think this was the perfect opponent for Andrade to have kind of his first time out. Andrade came out with a very interesting look. He had a white pinstripe suit on with his black skull mask, a very dapper suit, as commentary was pointing out. But it was tearaway. So we're debating if that is an amazing dapper suit or an expensive suit if it is tearaway. Either way,
there's no debate. Breakaway clothing, when you don't expect it to be breakaway clothing, 100% rules. It's not up for debate. If it's breakaway clothing and you're not warming up for like a high school basketball game with your breakaway pants on, it's the best. It's great. It's wonderful.
I agree.
No debate. I agree.
But either way, this match I think was highly entertaining. A good look for the first time at Andrade in the AEW ring, and kind of a reminder of what he can do. I know it's been a while since I've seen Andrade wrestle. That moonsault that he lands on his feet and then does an additional backflip, on the ring.
Double moonsault thing basically is so rad.
It's a rad move. I think we all kind of knew that Andrade was going to get this first win over Matt Sydal, which he does. He gets it with a hammerlock reverse STO that commentary basically tells us is called the El Idolo. And post-match, Andrade basically takes his belt off, traps Sydal's arm with the belt, and applies a double-arm cross armbar, and basically is just holding it while the bell rings and then eventually releases it, maybe sending a message to the rest of the locker room. So, listen, I thought it was a pretty decent showing for Andrade, first time out. And he is lucky enough to get his first time in the ring in front of a live audience on the road. Good timing for him. Kate, what did you think? Well, maybe let me pause here. Matt, did you have a chance to check this out?
This was where I tuned in.
Yay!
Perfect. So let's get your thoughts first.
I thought it was a good debut. And I thought the match was good, but I don't think that they did anything to separate Andrade from the rest of the AEW locker room. He essentially is exactly what he was in the WWE, in terms of his character. So I think they need to work on that. The suit is kind of like a Los Ingrenobles thing. So don't be surprised that he shows up in Ring of Honor Sunday night.
Whoa.
It wasn't bad, though. It was to be expected with who they put him in the ring with. It was impressive, but I would like them to do something with him that sets him apart from the other AEW superstars. I did like his cool mask and his getup, but then he's got to fucking take it all off on the way to the ring. It's very, I don't know, it seems very time-consuming.
Now, actually, I do have another question, because I don't know if they said it, and maybe I missed it. Who is the other gentleman that came out with him and Vicky?
No clue.
We don't know.
I noticed him at the end, and I thought first it was Abrahantes, and I was like, why is this guy involved? But it wasn't, because he was involved in the main event, or he came out for the main event, which is another head scratcher, but we'll get there. Yeah, I have no idea who he was. Maybe he's like Vicky's slave. I don't know.
I wasn't sure. It was an open question. I didn't hear them mention anybody. Anyway, Kate, what did you think about this showing?
I thought it was a great in-ring debut. That double moonsault thing was so cool. Sydal has been so great in this role of just, how can I make someone else look really good? And Andrade doesn't really need the help all that much, so that's always super beneficial. My only thing is, like, we still haven't gotten the big surprise that he talked about for 2 weeks, like 3 weeks, basically, since his debut. I'm wondering maybe if that is an what is it in Ring of Honor? The faction in Ingobernables or whatever, LFI, LIF. What am I LFI. Saying? LFI. Thank you. I keep thinking of the shitty band. I don't know why I get it wrong. It's AFI, LFI.
LFO.
LFO, AFI. Yes. That's a hell of a tribute band. Got my letters confused with this forbidden door being open. So I'm wondering if maybe that is there. Because that would just be really, really cool. But I'm kind of with you, Matt. Like, I'm looking for what was the big surprise and where is the distinction. But he does have that whatever, that charisma, that X factor, the ability to pull off a breakaway suit. Like, there is a tremendous amount of poise with him. I think he's going to just do wonderful things for this company. And, like, I think there's so much money in him versus Miro. Like, the way that they present themselves and their ring styles, I think, man, that could be a hell of a feud. So I'm looking forward to that. I didn't love what they did with Miro out of the gate, but I love what they're doing with him now. So I have a ton of patience with this company because they keep rewarding me for having that patience. But I'm with you, and I want to know what the surprise is. Enough with the surprise blue balls. You told us 2 weeks.
Well,
that, like,
mean,
in a row.
Well, I mean, you know, I think maybe that comes up again next week, Kate, only because I'm thinking, when you think, you know, through kind of what's happened, he came out saying he was going to have this surprise. He came out to do it, and Sydal interrupted him. So last week he said, I'm going to basically get even with Sydal, and now we have the match. So maybe next week it comes back. you know, so maybe that's, you know, now he's sure. living with Seidel. You know, well, so
you had a whole interview with Jim Ross. Just say it then. Enough.
No, he's got to make a big splash. He's a showman. Anyway, moving on from El Idolo, we get a video package with Christian Cage and Matt Hardy basically talking about their issues, setting up their match next week at Fyter Fest. We do not need to dig into this if there's no reason to. So we're just going to keep moving to the big segment of the night, if you ask me. It's an interview with Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson starts to cut a promo where he's being interviewed by Shivani, saying how great it is to be back in front of live fans and in Miami. And as he's starting to get into his whole thing, the lights go out again. Clearly, they're having electrical issues. And when the lights come back on, there is a man in the ring. And that man's name is Tommy fucking End. They mention, I think it's mentioned that it's Tommy End, but he doesn't look like Tommy End. They say that he is now known as Malachi Black, which, you know, is what it is, but he's Malachi Black. He gives a black mass to Arn Anderson. Cody rushes in to try to help. And then Tommy lays him out with a black mass. And that's all we get tonight of Tommy End, baby. But it was enough to make a huge splash. So we should probably mention that earlier in the day, he did put out a vignette online through his social channels where he was basically kind of making reference to his past and this kind of new persona. And a lot of people were speculating if he was going to show up tonight or not. There were also rumor reports that he was in Miami and that backstage the locker room was, you know, kind of wondering if he was going to show up or not. So it sounded like the locker room was not informed of what was going to happen, which is kind of cool. And he did show up. So clearly he's not under any sort of 90-day non-compete because he has showed up early. And he appears to now be in some sort of angle here with AEW. I also haven't checked the AEW social channels. I don't know if I've seen an official Tommy End is All Elite. Have you?
He has a t-shirt already.
Okay, well, then it's official.
They're incredible.
Yeah. So it's official, then I guess he is with the company, which, guys, I think is awesome. I mean, Mrs. Money was sitting there on the couch watching with me, and she popped really good for this.
So good.
This is exciting. I think we've now got a guy who, and I hate using this term, has got a chip on his shoulder. But he's got something to prove because I guess the way he was used in the Federation, it was kind of start and stop. He was super hot. Then they cooled him down. Then they really never brought him back. And when they started to bring him back towards the end of his run at the Federation, they then cut him. So I think there is a lot to prove. And I think that this is a good place for him to show what he's got, because I've always thought he has a great look. His moveset looks violent and he's a good worker. So I'm excited to see what he can do in AEW. Matt, what are your thoughts on Tommy showing up?
I think this is fantastic. I think AEW is the perfect home for him. And if they're going to let him be in charge of... he is going to be allowed to use his creative freedom to help his character. And you could already see that tonight with the eye, which he has been selling.
Fucking awesome.
And then there was right after he debuted, Buddy Murphy tweeted, congrats, but don't forget about me. How's the eye? And Tommy End just responded with Buddy Murphy's real name. He just said Matthew. Woo! So there's that. I've also seen it reported that WWE forgot to make Tommy End's non-compete clause 90 days and they left it at 30. So that's why he was able to debut right now.
Just amazing.
But I think this is a huge, huge get for AEW. I also love the fact that he's dressed in all black and Cody was in all white. Kind of like a good versus evil thing. And it was the perfect debut. There wasn't a ton to it. It made a ton of sense. It's just fantastic. Fantastic all around. Super exciting. And I'm happy for this because I think you got to see just the tip of the iceberg with him when he was in NXT. Not so much when he got pulled up to the main roster, but when he was in NXT, they really kind of let him do his own thing. And I think this is just the beginning. He's so fucking good. And if you're not familiar with his Tommy End work, definitely go check it out. He did a bunch of stuff in PWG and over in Germany and stuff. So this is going to be awesome for AEW.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't update his non-compete from NXT to the main roster is hysterical to me. Like, what? And he was, like, in storyline with Big E, like, in the middle of it when he got released. Hilarious. Good for him. He deserves to work. That rules. Love the eye. That's just so great, seeing him still selling the eye. And one thing, well, two things that AEW does really well that were apparent in the segment. One, they're really fucking good at surprises, and it wasn't just Sting. And I know after the Sting thing, they said that they want to spoil more surprises, or TNT wanted to, because they want the ratings boost for when that happens. Still, we get surprises. I love it. They're so good at keeping shit quiet. It's unbelievable. And the other thing that was really great about this, for me, was it's incredible how important things feel even though there's not a belt involved. Like, just the fact he didn't even say anything, he just showed up and it was Cody, so it mattered because Cody is one of the EVPs and probably the biggest name on the show or whatever, aside from Jericho, whatever. Like, clearly they're golden boy, right? They're incredible at making things feel very important. Look at MJF hasn't been near a belt in forever. He had his thing with Mox and that was it. But it feels important when he's on my screen. They're incredible at making things feel very valuable, considering they only have the tag belts and the two belts and the women's belt, obviously. So I think we're going to get a trios belt when Rampage is here. But that's just something that occurred to me today. Like, it immediately felt important. He didn't say anything, and he's not immediately hotshotted into a title picture or anything. Fantastic, fantastic job of just making every inch of story on this show feel important.
Well, it's going to be fun to see what they do with Tommy End / Malakai Black as this story progresses. So hang on, folks. I think this is going to be exciting. And now that he's got a chance to kind of control his look, his image, things like that, maybe we're going to get the guy that we were kind of hoping was going to break out with the WWE. So we'll see. Either way, it's exciting. We move on to footage of earlier in the night. Looks like during the taping for Dark or something like that, Ricky Starks took the ring with his security squad to cut a promo, and Taz comes out to basically say, you know, to yell at Starks and ask what he's doing. And Starks says that he needs security because he's not medically cleared to fight, and he can't trust Brian Cage to not put hands on him. And then there's a little kind of drama that plays out. He says something about FTW means the W means wife. And that's exactly what he's going to do. And then Cage comes out and basically runs Starks off. So we're clearly building up this FTW match at Fighter Fest. Ricky Starks is clear to compete, which is pretty incredible with the neck issue he had, that he's going to be coming back so soon. You know, I just hope that things are 100% healed up. So, listen, anytime I can see Ricky Starks in any capacity on TV, on the mic, in the ring, whatever, is good for me. So I like this. Any thoughts, anybody, on this segment?
Great to see Starks. I thought he sounded really, really natural in this, and I'm very excited for him to have a place in ring on my television again.
Yeah, and Taz was the one who clearly had the issue here with him coming out at all. So maybe this is driving for a bigger rift throughout all of Team Taz. So we'll see how this plays out. But we go on to Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander versus Pepper Parks and Allie. I'm sorry, that's the Blade and the Bunny. and this is, they're saying that this was really the first kind of intergender match in AEW, but it was brought up. Schlong did jog our memory, and we did get Cody and Red Velvet versus Shaq and Jade Cargill. So we did get another intergender match.
And I think Matthew? I think they corrected. I think they said that on commentary too.
Okay, I must have missed it.
They also had some on the Ship of Jericho if you went on the cruise like I did.
Well, excuse me, Kate.
Jesus Christ. Can we just get rid of her and bring in Schlong?
I've been trying to.
I'm surprised she hasn't broke both of her arms from patting herself on the back so much.
Well, we're embargoed for things we can't talk about, Matt, so it's likely going to happen. I mean...
Good. You know what? Good call. So how about this mixed tag match?
Well, they did make it very clear that in the mixed tag match, the rule is that when the opposite sex is tagged in, there is no intergender wrestling. The opposite sex must enter. So there were not going to be any intergender kind of matchups during this.
Right.
But that's pretty standard. Just wanted to make sure we're on the same page here.
Well,
so,
JR was quick to let people know that if he was wrong, they can correct him. So
that's very true. That's very true. So I think this was a pretty standard, intergender match. There was some fun moments in it. I loved at the start of it that Orange Cassidy was asking for the blade to get checked, and the brass knuckles did get pulled out of his pocket. So they did find it, but it still didn't stop the brass knuckles from getting involved in this match. Orange Cassidy eventually gets a cover on the blade, but the bunny pulls him out of the ring and is able to pass the brass knuckles to him. And while Ref Aubrey is distracted, a punch lays out Cassidy, but Chris Statlander is actually able to make the tag. So Aubrey sees the tag, Pepper Parks does not. And then Chris Statlander comes in and is able to get the win with pinfall from the Big Bang Theory on the bunny. So that is that match. I thought it was, it was good to see Chris Statlander on TV. They're clearly trying to do something with the bunny here. I thought it was a pretty decent match. Nothing out of the ordinary, pretty solid. I didn't have an issue. Matt, anything here from you?
I like the match. I do enjoy seeing Chris Statlander back on my TV, and her and Allie did a cool spot from the top rope that I enjoyed. I don't know if I wasn't paying enough attention or if the cameras missed it, but I completely missed Statlander tagging herself in when Cassidy got knocked out. So I was a little lost on what was happening when Pepper Parks was going for the pin and Aubrey was like, she's the legal person. And I was like, what did we miss? Because the camera weirdly followed Pepper Parks over to the corner after he gave the brass knuckles back to Allie, and then he went like, I don't know. I have to go back and watch it because I feel like they missed the tag.
So it was there, Matt, because I saw it happen, but it was in the corner, you know, like the top corner of the screen. She kind of reached in either through the middle of the ropes or even under the bottom rope and just basically tagged his, you know, shoulder, and Ref Aubrey had seen it. But once she tagged him, she ducked below, you know, the apron, you know, off the side of the ropes. So that way, I guess, the blade was none the wiser. So when he went to make the pin, you know, Aubrey had seen it. And that's how that kind of happened. It was there. It wasn't super obvious. It was in the corner of the screen, but you could see it. So just go back and check it out. Kate, what do you think?
I really liked it. Again, just having live crowds again is so nice. I'll never take it for granted again. But as soon as Jane was his old theme. The Pixies theme. Whatever they come out to now. I forget the name of it. But they're just super, super over. It's so fun to hear people cheering faces and booing heels like they should. I think Allie's been doing much better work in recent days than I've seen her do ever. So that's nice to see her improvement and coming along. I liked this tag team match better than last week's women's tag team match, so I will take it.
Well, I don't know where they're going to go from here, if this is over or not, but this was a nice intergender match. We move on from this. They show some footage of Jungle Boy getting photographed with a trophy that he was given for being the first to 50 wins in AEW. Really nothing much to talk about here. They just continue to acknowledge his achievement. And clearly they are pushing Jungle Boy kind of to the top here as close as they can. He is way over. So we do get Shivani back at ringside to interview American Top Team. Now, I want to talk about this because I was very confused. So Dan Lambert grabs the mic. Now, Dan Lambert, I, through commentary, understood, I guess, owns an MMA gym or something like that. And he grabs the mic from Shivani. He introduces Jorge Masvidal and Amanda Nunes, basically before, you know, before he goes on to basically shit on AEW, saying that he was skeptical of coming in the first place because he's got better, or not because he's got better things to do, but it was the fact that AEW sucks. And he thanked Tony Khan for the offer to come and says that if you wanted to enjoy a night of pro wrestling, that he'd watch Gordon Solie call Eddie Graham and Johnny Valentine on Championship Wrestling from Florida from the 70s and the 80s. Because the truth is that wrestling has gone nowhere but downhill since the late 90s and that this product is unwatchable. And he basically goes through Tony's pitch that AEW is doing it right. But, you know, he's Dan Lambert says he's learned to always trust your instincts. And then Lance Archer comes into the ring and knocks Lambert out, hits the blackout on him. And that is that. Guys, one question to you both.
Oh, can I say it?
Yeah, sure. Let's see if you can read my mind here.
What the fuck?
Thank you. That was exactly my question. What the fuck was that?
I don't understand why it had to be on TV. Like, it did. You could have done that during a commercial break to get the crowd all fired up. Like, I think it's cool that you could show Amanda Nunes and Masvidal on, you know, maybe you show them before you go to a commercial break, and then as soon as you go to the commercials, you can have Dan Lambert do that for the live crowd, and then Lance Archer comes out, and yeah, everyone's happy about it. Having it on TV was so weird. So great. Cut a great promo. I will not take that away from him. He cut a great promo, but I just don't understand what the point of it was.
Well, here's two things. One, what?
So Rhiannon, like, Rhiannon just said this to us, just so you know.
Thanks.
L for love.
Kate said L for love. She's laughing, and she's Oreo cookies are just falling out of her mouth.
It's a superior cookie, by the way. My one thing would be, or my two things about this were basically, one, at one point they actually show like Masvidal and Nunes, and like Nunes and Masvidal are clapping and smiling. If they're supposed to be there because they think it sucks, then why are they doing that? So that's one.
See, I don't think they think it sucks. Dan Lambert think it sucks. I think they're just happy to be there.
Who the fuck cares? Either way. And then my other thing is, is this supposed to now cause an issue between like Lance Archer and Jorge Masvidal? Like, is that somehow what we're getting to?
No, I think it was just a,
I don't understand.
I think it was just a spot to get Amanda Nunes and Masvidal on TNT, and Dan Lambert, who's a carny, who runs his MMA gym, and he was just on the WWE Treasure Show because he is a belt collector, and he was heavily involved in MLW and fucking King Mo and that dog shit over there.
You love King Mo.
I hate King. I hope King Mo dies in a fucking house fire that could have been easily prevented.
King Mo, Terry Funk, you're just...
Fucking Jesus. I just think it was him being a carny, like, yeah, I'll get them to be on your show, but you got to let me go in the ring and cut a promo. And then Tony Khan's like, what if you cut a promo and Lance Archer beats you up? And he was like, yes, absolutely, I'll do that. Because that, unfortunately, that might get like coverage on like ESPN. Like, so one of those shows, like First Take or whatever, will cover Dan Lambert getting fucking black holes slammed or whatever the fuck it's called.
Blackout. Okay.
But like, what?
Yes.
I was like, okay, though, but like, what? Like, none of this.
I honestly,
I was trying to be so patient because I agree with you. Like, I thought the promo was good. I actually thought he was pretty good on the mic, but it was so long. And then Lance Archer, like, not what? Like, if you watch the first, like, All In or Out or whatever the one before this was a company was, I always fuck it up.
It's All In.
All In. And you watch, like, UFC events, they're always like, check out these celebrity hand jobs that are here. But it's never like, what? It's made no sense on any level. And then he was kind of like baby facing them. And Lance Archer worked babyface. So, like, right as he was kind of saying AEW was doing it right, Lance Archer came out. No. I was trying to be so patient for this whole thing. And it just made less sense. But Amanda Nunes is cool. So that was neat. Maybe her and Thunder Rosa could do a thing since Thunder Rosa's MMA trained. I don't want any more shoot fucking work fights. No.
So you think Amanda Nunes could just turn into a professional wrestler?
I'm not as like shitty on the Rousey run as a lot of people are, but
look, Ronda Rousey might be an exception to the rules. Amanda, you can't just go in there and be a pro wrestler.
That's fair. Okay, so this makes less sense than even that.
No, like, he was running AEW down, and I honestly thought he was going to bring out like Tom Lawler from MLW and be like, sure, this is a real wrestler. But they didn't do that. So I'm sticking to my guns. I think this was to get Amanda Nunes and Masvidal on TNT during Dynamite. He got himself a deal. He can go in the ring, cut a promo, and get beat up because he's a fucking mark.
I'll buy that.
And if Dynamite and AEW is lucky, it's on like ESPN tomorrow on those dumb like jackwagon shows where they talk about like famous clips from the night before that have nothing to do with sports.
It's extremely possible.
I just know one thing. I don't want to see Masvidal or Amanda Nunes in the wrestling ring. I really just don't.
And I don't think you will. I think that was the deal was they will be in the crowd. And he gets to go in the ring, cut a promo, and then get beat up.
So weird.
Fingers crossed on that.
And people talking about it. I'm sure people in the MMA world are talking about it because they know who Dan Lambert is and Masvidal and Nunez. So, you know, maybe it gives a little rub to Dynamite. That's the only thing that makes sense in my brain.
Well, either way, we'll see what possibly comes of this weird segment, if anything else is to come. But we do get a hype up for the card next week. So for night one of Fyter Fest, and that is in Austin, we are going to get an IWGP United States Championship match where Jon Moxley defends his title against Carl Anderson. We're going to get the coffin match with Darby Allin against Ethan Page. We'll have Brian Cage versus Ricky Starks for the FTW belt. Matt Hardy will fight Christian Cage. Penelope Ford will fight the savior of the women's division, Yuka Sakazaki.
Yes.
We'll also hear from Hangman Adam Page. And they did make note that tickets for night one are sold out. So it will be a full house in Austin. Should be a pretty crazy atmosphere for Fyter Fest night one. And that brings us to our main event of the night where we get Penta El Zero Miedo versus Eddie Kingston, versus the Young Bucks in an AEW World Tag Team Championship street fight. So, of course, through this match, there are a lot of weapons and kind of outside interference, but it's all legal. So as we kind of get through this match, you know, there's a crazy table spot where I think it's a destroyer reversal. Penta hits on Matt Jackson through a table off the apron to the outside of the ring. That was just nasty. Again, we get Brandon Cutler trying to use the free spray, and it doesn't really work to his advantage. He gets put through a table. Garbage cans, chairs, you know, all that kind of stuff. Eventually, we do get Tax in the ring. Tax do get poured out by Eddie Kingston. At one point, there are actually Tax being thrown in the face of opponents, which I thought was pretty incredible, because Matt Jackson at one point throws Tax in the face of Eddie Kingston, and he throws them basically out of the ring into the crowd. So the crowd is basically getting peppered with Tax. And shortly after that, Nick Jackson hits a Frankensteiner into the Tax from Pentagon. There's a cover. It gets broken up. Eddie then gets Tax put into his mouth and super kicked. And then it's basically a double pin. And the Young Bucks win with that thumbtack assisted super kick from Matt Jackson onto Eddie Kingston. And they retain their world tag team championship. And I should mention too that when I said Cutler got put through a table, it was Frankie Kazarian who came through the crowd to jump the rail and do that to him. So Frankie Kazarian again is aligning against the Elite. He's the Elite Hunter. So that is the end of the night. That is the last match. Matt, what did you think about this street fight? Did this live up to the hype?
Did it live up to the hype? Sure. It was good. It was what it needed to be. It was a fight. I thought Don Callis did a great job on commentary, selling that they're not just, you know, they can handle their own, in a fight. I'm a little disappointed they shaved their terrible mustaches, because I thought that was, but again, I understand why. I'm sure they told their wives they were just going to do it for one night and then they'd shave them off. Like, if I did that, Rhiannon would stab me in the neck. I thought it was fun. A lot of different pieces. I like Frankie Kazarian getting involved. I wish commentary wouldn't have said who it was until he took off his hood, because his hood was still on before he revealed to the crowd who he was. That's just me picking nits. I was really, like, being an uber nerd, I was like, go, Gorillas of Destiny. They live in Florida. Like, this is the perfect opportunity for them to fuck the day up for the Young Bucks and cost them the tag titles, but I guess that's not going to happen because they're still the champions. And I loved how they put over the mean streets of Rancho Cucamonga.
Yes.
So it was a fun match. I liked it. I'm interested to see what's next for the Bucks.
Yeah, my favorite thing Don Callis said that really popped me was something was going on, and he said, "That's life on the streets." And that just really made me laugh. So he's just great on commentary. You are an Eddie Kingston mark. So what did you think of this match?
Oh, Matt, did you want to give my Eddie Kingston thoughts?
Oh my God. I give it 17 stars in the Tokyo Dome because Eddie Kingston is a stud. And can you believe he wore a Terry Funk t-shirt to the ring? What an OG. Oh my God. I would love it if he kicked me with his Timber boots. You know, the waffle stompers. It would be an honor for me to get kicked in the face by Eddie Kingston. It was awesome. I wish he cut a promo at the beginning of the match and in the middle and after. How's he going to talk after he ate all them thumbtacks?
It's a good point, Kate. That's a good point.
I'm so
worried about my baby.
Matt, that was an excellent Kate impression. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Wait, I wasn't looking at the camera. That was Matt? I could have sworn it was you.
Sorry, yeah. It was actually Matt. I know that is...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, that was a surprise. So yes to everything that Matt said. I do know what Tim's are, though, so I know what, like, Timberland boots are. I really liked this. I thought it was very good. The only thing that I didn't like on commentary was, like, 2 weeks ago, Eddie Kingston said in a promo that he murdered someone. So you're going to have a hard time selling me on the idea that, like, Eddie Kingston is at a disadvantage in a street fight. I get that the Young Bucks are the, like, sneaky heels and stuff, but Eddie Kingston has shown us time and time again, and last week in the ring also showed us, like, I'm not this dumb that I can't see all the gang wars that happen every week on the show, so I know that y'all are sneaky sneaks. I'm gonna stomp you out with my Tims anyway, because I'm smarter than that, because I'm street smart, because I'm Eddie fucking Kingston. So There were a few times on commentary where I get what they were trying to do, because you do kind of have to put the Jacksons on that level a little bit, but it was just a little much for me a few times in there where I was like, okay, let's not pretend Eddie Kingston's not the one with the advantage of this match. But some really great spots, way more violent than I was expecting with the tacks. I don't think I've ever seen anybody like eat tacks to the face in that way before. But a good way to close out a show, and I think for your first like live on the road show, that's a really fun main event to go home with. There was part of me that was like, maybe they are going to drop the tag titles. I didn't go as far as Matt did to be as nerdy, but it felt like such a big event that I thought maybe they would go there, especially because I feel like Kenta and Eddie could be transitional champions, but maybe we're just waiting for Santana and Ortiz at Arthur Ashe. That's my hope. But a good way to close out the night for sure.
Well, it was a fun show. It was a stacked card. It was a good first one back out on the road in front of live fans. And the rumors out there are, and I don't think it needs to be a rumor, that they're going to continue to stack these shows that they have on the road back in front of live fans. And perhaps a bunch of surprises will happen to keep the interest high on these shows out in those markets. I mean, I don't think we thought anything else would happen. But yes, Kate, you are right, as you are miming, that there are a lot of spoons in the porridge. So that can still happen. Anyway, that's the end of the night. We got a couple little news and notes, nothing major, but it is worth mentioning Kate's favorite thing, WWE Dynamite. Clearly last week, JR flubbed at the end. His quote was, "Tickets are available at AEWTix.com. Folks, there's nothing in your life that will top seeing a live WWE Dynamite." So he flubbed it. And it should be noted that this was the second time that he has used the wrong company's initials. But that's good old JR for you. So because this is the age of the internet, many people had different emotions. People had a good laugh at it, I think, like we did. But other people were calling for him to be fired or even quit on his own volition. So JR took to Twitter just to quell any, you know, anybody's fears. He said, "Apparently I made an untimely error tonight at show's end. No excuses. And I am not quitting." So no worries, anybody. JR is not quitting. He's not being fired. So let's just look forward to the third time he does it. And we'll all have a good laugh again.
We're live, pal.
That's it.
I feel like he apologizes on Twitter almost as much as Chrissy Teigen.
I feel like he should not be. Jim Ross shouldn't be on fucking Twitter.
Well, he's got to get those thirst trap barbecue photos somehow.
Look, man, you're in your fucking 60s, bro. You should be fucking eating your barbecue, watching your fucking Oklahoma football game, calling around. You shouldn't be spending your fucking days on Twitter worrying about what fucking people say about you, man. Because then you get red-ass JR on his podcast with Conrad. Gets all fired up. Poor guy's going to have a goddamn heart attack. He made a fucking mistake. He worked at a goddamn company for 20-plus years. You want to know how many times he said, "Don't miss a fucking WWE Raw. Don't miss WWE SmackDown"? It's not the end of the world.
It's not. It's just like, I think it was because that was like kind of more of a feels video package than a lot of people were expecting to close it out that way. And he did call Kenny. I'm not saying he should like be fired, but like it does feel like he's like always apologizing for a bad joke, and he called Kenny like the WWE champion and this.
I don't think Jim Ross has anything to apologize for. Maybe you don't let him do the call letters.
That's like,
very true.
Like, you know, I think tonight was, you noticed at the end, I think he's like, "Be sure to tune in next week for another action-packed show." Like, don't call it fucking AEW. Call it fucking Dynamite. Tune in for Dynamite. You don't have to put the letters out there. Everyone knows what we're watching. He's old. He's been around forever. Probably has little memory lapses. He probably pees his pants.
That's okay. It happens. People shit their pants.
Just fuck. People need to, like, man. Like, it's just the fucking hate and the vitriol is like, it's really not that serious. It's not a big deal.
Matt, my life was extremely affected.
Holy, I know. You said fucking WWE Dynamite like 40 fucking times last week.
Like four, and because I found it funny. I wasn't like carrying it around for days on end. Like, how will I go about my day knowing Jim Ross at WWE instead of AEW? And then I cried and then I passed out.
He's still the best announcer of the last 30 years in professional wrestling.
Easily. Easily. So, don't worry, anybody. JR's not going anywhere.
And neither are we.
That's true. So we're not going anywhere.
We're going to Maryland, though.
We are.
Well, we're going to Maryland. That's true. Two other quick things. Nelly. Let's not forget that Shaquille O'Neal did wrestle a match in AEW Dynamite about 4 months ago against Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet. He did take a table bump, and he did the stretcher job. And then he went missing afterwards. Don't forget, we still don't know where Shaq is.
He got
So in a recent interview with Pop Culture, Shaq has addressed the possibility of a match against Paul White in AEW. He said, "I look forward to doing it again. I hear that Paul White's still talking trash, so I'm going to work out really hard this summer, and maybe we can do something very, very soon. Shouldn't be any problems for us getting together now. Last time there was a lot of bureaucracy and red tape. Now there's no red tape. I am still kind of sore from the table, so I'm going to work out in the summer, pump these muscles up, and I'll be waiting for you, Mr. Paul." So there is, I guess, the possibility open that we get Shaq versus Paul White too.
Only if he's Captain Insano.
You know, it's funny, Matt, you did not watch Elevation this week, but he did when Serena Deeb came out in her jacket. He said something like, I would get myself a jacket like that. And then he said, I would get myself a cape and it would be like Captain Insano. So he did reference dress it up like Captain Insano. And Shivani said that he sometimes thinks that they're the same person.
Ah.
So I guess that possibility is out there, guys. Would we be excited to see Shaq Paul White too?
No. Well, they tend to do these things really, really well, but like, just let the moment be. Like, that was a different company. Shaq already went through a table, and that was really, really cool. Like, just maybe leave it alone forever.
I think if AEW can get it in front of a live crowd, they're going to go fucking nuts for it. And it's only going to bring attention to AEW if Shaq is back there for a second time. So
that wasn't the question, sir.
I'm not excited for it, but I'm not going to poo-poo it because I wasn't excited for Cody and Shaq. And that turned out really well, so I will wait and see what happens, if it ever comes to fruition.
Are you excited for Aaron Carter and Shaq? Because he knows how to beat Shaq.
I don't know who Aaron Carter is.
The song, How I Beat Shaq?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, Matthew. It was like Aaron Carter, Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys' little brother, was like 13, and he did a song called How I Beat Shaq. He was like, slam! Put in the hoop like something. You have to listen to it.
Hey, what'd you do with that money your mother gave you for singing lessons?
First of all, I pay for them myself. Second of all, there's no melodically more challenging song than Aaron Carter's How I Beat Shaq. I can't believe you don't know the song. I feel like I referenced it while
really,
the feud was going
that
on.
That really surprises you that I don't know I don't even know who fucking Aaron Carter is.
I feel like I mentioned it like an obnoxious amount of times as I do everything.
Yeah,
while the feud
after
was
a while,
going
it's
on.
It's just white noise to me, to be honest with you.
I mean, to me too, but still, I thought there would have been a brief window.
I'm sorry, kid. I wasn't paying attention. I heard some white noise. What were you saying?
I just push it all out and just fill it with useless information, wrestling information.
Matt, you might recognize him. He got a terrible face tattoo of, I think it was a mermaid that looked like Rihanna or something like that. It was all over the tabloids during the pandemic at some point.
That should be our go-home music tonight.
Dude, me and Rihanna the other night watched an ID three-part documentary about a YouTuber who was grooming women.
Okay.
No.
But he just went to jail or just admitted it, right?
No.
It was in the news.
Was he? I don't know. I had no idea who this person was, and he's been around since 2005, just to give you an idea of how out of the loop I am on things.
If Wait. It's not on a murder show, you probably don't know it.
I still don't know. I didn't even bother to look him up.
Who was it? Was it...
Onision?
Who?
Onision?
Oh, no. I thought you were talking about the other guy who was really famous for a while. He was a video game guy. I can't remember his name now. Oh, well. Doesn't matter. Moving on to our last news and note of the evening. On July 6th, TK made an appearance on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz podcast to promote Dynamite in Miami. While he was praising the efforts during the pandemic, Stu Gatz brought up the disappointing end result of Revolution. And TK had a little bit to say about that. So he basically said, "I'll never let the non-wrestling people... I was trying to be too safe, and I let the professionals handle that stuff. And they're the guys who don't understand wrestling. They're professional pyrotechnic guys. They totally, can I swear on this show? They totally shit the bed. These guys, I ended up not paying them. It was like $100,000 that they ended up refunding me for all the expense of the match. So I didn't end up paying for that barbed wire death match. Which I shouldn't have, because these guys screwed up royally. We put together something great. Kenny and John worked their asses off, and all they had to do was set off the final explosion. This is because we use professional pyrotechnic people who were supposed to know. And the next time we do this, and I will do it again, because the match drew. Everything John and Kenny did up to that point was outstanding, but it wasn't their fault. The thing didn't go off. Long story short, that was a long time ago. We've bounced back since then. But what I'm really proud of is basically since that was 3 months ago, everything has been pretty perfect since then. Things really couldn't have gone much better. So two things here. One, TK totally putting the blame off of AEW onto the pyro guys. I guess you can't blame him for that. You're not going to put it on your own company. But two, it sounds like they are definitely going to do this again in some capacity. Are we interested in seeing this again and hopefully work out the right way we need? No. I want to go to Matt because he has a shit eating grin on his face.
AEW is going to give you John Moxley and Onita in an exploding death match. And it is going to be amazing. Onita might sacrifice himself.
Really? He's going to die in the ring?
I don't know, man, but his new promotion just started 4th of July. I got to find myself some time to find that show. But I know Onita said he wants Moxley in a death match.
Well, that's probably the only way it's going to happen. I don't think they would do Moxley and Kenny again in an exploding barbed wire death match.
Do Moxley Onita. Do it.
The buys will be through the roof. Kate, what are your thoughts?
Yes, I want to see it again. No, I don't want to see it work well again. I want to see it fail a second time. I think it would be so much more fun. And hopefully I'll be watching at Matt's again and we can laugh. If people want to do it, they should do it. Hopefully the pyrotechnics work this time. Definitely blamed them pretty hardcore, which is fair, I guess. They had like one job and they didn't do it. And Kenny and Mox did tell a great story. And we got the Eddie Kingston face turn out of it too. Let's not forget that. So AEW did a beautiful job in the execution on their part. So I guess it is the pyro guy's fault, but I'm not surprised we would see it again. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Kenny and Mox again, but we will see.
Maybe you do some sort of tag, right? You do Mox and Eddie Kingston. Versus Kenny and somebody else. Yeah. Kenny and Onita. Oh, Matt, would that get you going?
You can't do tag exploding. No.
Well, it wouldn't be a tag.
No. You don't need tornado tag match. No, there's too much going on there.
Oh, that's too much.
Yeah, because you're going to miss explosions and spots, and the camera's going to be all over the place. You need Onita and Moxley. It'll sell huge. It'll sell amazing. The building will be packed to the rafters. Closed circuit TVs, movie theaters. The pay-per-view buys will be through the roof. Just book it. I just booked it. Get TK on the horn. Kate, jot this down. Dear Aaron, tell your boss TK, book Onita versus Moxley. P.S. People want to do this show. Why can't you just book them and do your job? XOXOXO, the Mark Order Podcast.
That sounds about right.
Send. Thank you.
Perfect.
I am a booking wizard.
You are.
You're a wizard, all right. A
shining booking wizard.
Well, that's it for us. That's all the news and notes from this week. Not a whole lot happening in the outside world, but I think the big news is that they are back on the road, baby. And it's a lot of fun to have wrestling back in front of live crowds on the road.
And so are we. We're on the road too. 7-Eleven, National Slurpee Day. Let's go.
Well, we're on the road to Ring of Honor in Baltimore, Maryland. The Mark Order will be there. Like I said, there is we put an event together on Facebook. If anybody is out there listening, you're going to be in Baltimore for that pay-per-view. Join the event. Hit us up. We'll figure out where we want to kind of sync up before the pay-per-view at the venue and hang out, have a couple drinks, have a few laughs, and then watch the wrestling show. We will be there. Matthew, Kate, myself, Milwaukee Tom, and his lovely wife will be accompanying us. So we're looking forward to that. And then we're going to obviously put some other stuff up where we're going to be later in the year with AEW's local events for us. So other than that, follow us on social media. We're everywhere at Mark Order Pod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook as well. Facebook.com/Mark Order Pod. If you're watching us on Facebook, thank you. We love that you join us and hang out. And for anybody who's listening to this in podcast form, you can always go to the Facebook page, follow us. The videos are up there afterwards. So if you don't want to listen, if you don't actually want to watch us on camera, you can just watch along there after the fact. So check us out. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Kate, did you have anything you wanted to plug? Maybe the fact that you're going to try to fuck PPA all day and then get some mojitos and a makeover?
I mean, I think you plugged it better than I could have. That was incredible.
Well, we're still trying to get...
I mean, yes to all of that.
So. We're still trying to get that going. So if you're out there, hit up PPA, Pretty Peter Avalon. Let them know that Kate wants to fuck him and get a makeover. We're doing the hashtag Wingmen Wing Makeover to try to drive some interest. So use the hashtag join the Mark Order. If you want us to be part of the conversation with anything. Matt, you got anything you want to plug?
We will be in Baltimore on Sunday. It will be a glorious time. Do not talk to me. Do not look me in the eye. If you decide to speak to me, and do not touch me. Do not even, don't even, no fist bumps, no handshakes. I don't trust you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where your filthy little hands have been.
You heard it here, folks. Give That's Matt not... the biggest hug of your life.
If you, at ROH I will knee you in the groin as hard as I can.
Listen, Matt is just trying to be modest because he doesn't want. He knows that he's popular and that you know, Kate and I are not as popular. So
I want to be popular.
Matt will talk to you about wrestling and baseball,
maybe,
and whatever for as long as you want, one on one, face to face. And he even said that he is more than happy to take photos. You could put your arm around him, take some photos, maybe take some fun shots where you have Matt in a headlock under your sweaty pits.
The prom photo. The
prom pose.
You don't have to pay for this. This is all free.
No.
Totally free. And Matt said he will be the
OnlyFans. No. If this is going
down, Matt will be the little spoon.
I'm getting paid, just so you know. I'm making a buck out of this, all right?
A young buck.
No. It's at least 10 for a picture with me.
10? Wow.
What? Are you going to be like Virgil about it?
I might. If you take a picture with me, then I'm going to make you buy me a drink or give me money.
Millionaire Matt, 8x10s. It'll be perfect. You can hunt down everyone in the arena with them.
No, I'm not wasting my money making 8x10s, okay?
Yes, you are. No. Yes, we are.
You can. You can waste your money. All right. If you, the listener, want to waste your own money, you can eat by 10 of me and I will sign it for you. No problem. 15.
15 for the signed.
15
eight
just
by
for
10.
The 8 by 10. You want to do a combo, I'll give it to you for 20.
I you will should sign probably your sign off because I'm starting to really like this idea, like genuinely.
Well, look, there's like 30 people that follow us on Facebook, so I doubt any of those people are going to Baltimore. So you might want to work the Twitter angle a little harder.
That's what she said.
No, Facebook's like a dying... Facebook's like Terry Funk, okay?
Oh, my God, Matthew.
It's got dementia. It's old. People aren't really into it. They feel sorry for it. Great Texan, great album. Barbara Streisand's Nose, hit. We Hate School, excellent song.
Can I say, I don't know why, I have had Neil Diamond's Forever in Blue Jeans stuck in my brain for like the past 3 days, and I've listened to it to try to knock it out. Has not worked. Has not worked.
See, before you and the family showed up today, I just kept saying, ho, 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 Green Giant.
Oh, my God.
There was no reason for it.
By the way, I came upstairs at like shortly after 5 o'clock when I got off of my, you know, real gig. And I said to the boy, hey, you hungry for dinner? And he's like, no. I was like, well, what if we got some dinner somewhere? And he's like, no. I was like, what if I told you that there's a guy with a pizza truck nearby and we can go get pizza from him? And he yelled, Matt, I'm hungry now. Let's go.
He wasn't very talkative. He was a little shy.
He never is. He never is. He's super shy. But he was super excited to go see you in the pizza truck. So thank you for having us.
Well, I'm glad that you guys showed up. And I am happy that you enjoyed your pizza pies.
I can say this. For some reason, Mrs. Money said that we were going on a trip. And he is not very happy with me about that.
Yes, she did tell him while you were parking the car that he was going on a trip with me.
And he was like, where are you going? I was like, oh, I have to go to Baltimore. And he's like, why? And he's like, I was like, well, we have to do something. And then he kind of dropped it. And he was like, why are you going on a trip? And I was like, me and Matt have to go see some people. And he's like, who are you going to see? I was like, some guys, don't worry about it. Like, we have to go see some guys. And he's like, who, what guys? And I was like, we're going to see a baseball game. Okay. And then he was like, I want to go to a baseball game. And I was like, we're going to take you, pal. I promise. Like, we're going to take you. And I said, when you get older, we can do something like this. But he was very upset. I think he thought I was leaving immediately. And I was like, no, I'm coming home with you tonight. Don't worry about it.
Well, that's good that you...
Does he want an 8x10 of the pizza man himself?
Oh. He would probably love it. He would probably love it. We just did his room.
The people want it, Matt. The people want it.
People want what? 8x10s of me making pizza or 8x10s of me being a millionaire?
Ooh.
Or a lumberjack.
We need a calendar. We probably need a calendar.
Ooh, you want a calendar?
Yeah, just of you, not of the Mark order.
Right, right.
Just
like
you.
Me as a lumberjack, millionaire Matt, pizza Matt.
Titties out, Matt.
Titties out, Matt.
Psycho killer Matt.
Psycho killer Matt. Playing with my guys, Matt.
Yeah, that's what are we, 6 or 7?
I don't do that, but you assume I do. So you could have like opening a package, Matt.
There you go.
Unboxing.
You could
do
one with every Pillow Buddies, and you have half a year.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'd have 7 months if you count the DDP buddy.
Oh, true.
Okay. Right.
Oh, Matt. Also, big news today. We didn't even talk about Figure Talk. The what's it? Not the Unrivaled. What was the collection? The
Unmatched.
Unmatched Series 1 came out today for pre-order.
Yeah, I did not realize that the Cody LJN was part of the set.
Yes, it's just part of the standard set. It looks like for the Unmatched, for each one of those sets, they have like one special-ish figure. So that was that. But I hope you know, Matt, when you text me that, I was in the middle of going through like an insurance claim because of the damage in my ceiling. And as I'm going through that, I am also at the same time looking down at my phone, trying to pre-order and do that as quickly as possible.
Sorry. I saw it. I was playing hockey
I got it in. Don't worry. All I got it in.
Well, that's what I did. I was playing hockey, and then I was constantly checking my emails because the weather was looking bad. So sometimes I'll get the email from somebody about the food truck. So I was constantly checking because I was enjoying playing hockey. Come on, Nelly. And then I saw that email, and I instantly had the email text you.
Well, I didn't get that email till much later, so I appreciate it.
No problem, buddy. And I'm feeling great. I got a pretty light day tomorrow, pretty light weekend. Sunday's going to be awesome. They're calling for a 40% chance of rain in Baltimore. 82.
Fuck out of here.
I don't care. We got club seats. We can go inside in the air conditioning.
I'm all about it. I don't care. We're there. Souped.
I am so excited for this.
I hope you guys don't expect to see any sleeves on these shoulders at all that weekend. It's going to be all sleeveless shirts all the time.
I'm not going to lie. I saw your chalk line shorts today. I put Bret Hart 1997 pants in a cart. Then I said to myself, do I really need these?
You do.
You know what? Ant? Oh, I did not pull the trigger. I said, you know what? I don't need these.
I'll tell you this. I haven't bought any of the pants from Chalkline. I'm strictly a shorts Chalkline guy. I haven't pulled the trigger on any new shorts. The last pair I bought were the Bret Harts that are pretty sweet. You'll see them this weekend. Those are definitely in the bag this weekend.
Nice.
I will not have the matching jacket because it's summer and I don't wear a jacket in the summer.
All right. Makes sense.
But I will tell you this. They did put out yesterday an NWO Fanimation jacket. So they'll have, you know, fans or whoever, you know, do artwork for the jackets. And then I guess they'll buy the artwork and, you know, print them. It's an NWO jacket. Hogan, Nash, and Hall are on the back. Black and white. NWO on the breast. I definitely ordered one of those to go with my black and white outsider shorts because I missed the outsider jackets to match the shorts. So I said, you know what? This is the next best thing. And I got news for you, Matt. The next Macho Man jacket with the sparklies on it. Oh, that's coming, baby.
Oh, boy. All right. You're in.
Oh, I'm in. That means once I get that one, I'm one away from having the complete set.
I thought you're
like
say...
the belt collector of Macho Man stuff.
Dude, how are you not going to get a Macho Man jacket that is covered? And I can't remember what those goddamn things are called. The sequins? Fucking sequins. Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm pro you having it. I'm just saying Kenny Omega is to belt collecting as Ant is to Macho Man chalk line. Wonderful deliciousness.
I also have the Mega Powers. I have a Mega Powers jacket. I have the
still Macho Man.
Well, yeah, but Hogan's on it. I have the Bret Hart. I'm gonna have the NWO. Hogan's on that. No Macho.
That's awesome.
And I have a Casey Jones from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Fuck yeah.
I have a pair of Rocksteady and Bebop shorts. Those are pretty sick. Ooh. Yeah.
Nice. I got a sweet
anyway.
A sweet Macho Man poster I have to get a frame for.
Was that the one that they had in the pro wrestling tease shop, exclusive?
The one they did like only 200 prints of?
Yeah.
I got it.
Pretty sweet. That's a sweet poster.
I also got my AEW barbed wire stuff today, but I didn't open it yet.
I got the shipping notification, but I did not get it yet. I'm waiting for it to come. I got the list of Jericho. I ordered that up. So I'm just waiting for it to get here so I can read it.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. It's a good read. I have it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
We were wrapping up like 20 minutes ago and then we got on figure talk. And...
At Mark Order Pod on all forms of social media. Tell your friends, listen, enjoy, spread the word on social media. We're very interactive on Twitter. We're working on being better on the Facebook. TikTok's killing it. And of course, every Wednesday night here on the rant, rantiumradio.com. Join the markorder.com is where you can listen to all of our past episodes. This is only our 15th episode. Definitely check it out as the Mark Order Podcast. And I think that's it. Can I hit the buttons?
Yeah, I would definitely say follow us on the social, because I think at some point we'll have shirts or stickers or some other shit like that. I think, too, we were going to maybe do official, like, Mark Order podcast sign-up cards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like club cards. We're working on this shit. So follow us on social.
Goodbye and good night.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.